starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer... probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew. And I'd like to thank you, including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Say baby, hey. Girl say.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Hey! You guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli. Just put the shirts back on. See that sign? No shirt, no shoes, no ties. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
I'm not good at making choices, so you'll certainly get no help from me.
You'll lose our munchies tonight, yo.
Not me. Like I said, be me.
What do you guys want?
Get some sour cream and onion chips with some dip, man. And beef jerky and peanut butter. Get some Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars. A whole lot of hot. Make sure it's chocolate. Gotta have chocolate, man. Some popcorn, bread popcorn, graham crackers. Graham crackers with the marshmallows, and little chocolate bars. And we'll make some s'mores, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, y'all.
Also, celery, grape jelly, Captain Crunch with blue crunch berries. Pizzas. We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them with water. Whole lot of water and
hello.
Hello?
Hey, it's hard, we're cutting a commercial.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reg.
How are you, Gordon?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm 70 today.
Hey, big guy. I thought I was calling in for your 30th birthday.
Paul, I have to talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter for the debut of Hancock Potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience isn't even supposed to have lines.
Fantastical.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Don.
Guess what?
Are we in Iceland?
Guess who didn't make the trip with us?
Who?
You know all the guys that say Sig Heil?
Oh, fantastic. It's about effing time.
And then we don't have that tape that says he was a neo-Nazi, but he hates himself now?
That's right. But remember,
well,
it stands true.
Let me just say he is a neo-Nazi, and he hates himself, and
I think he's dreamy.
Thank you.
Here he is. Yeah. Rob
Spiegel. And good afternoon, or evening if you're in Iceland. Mr. and Mrs. Daylight and all the ships at sea, a kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf and an empty cup,
you.
I found myself two friends, and they are Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Monday. It is May 12th, and we're not going to give out the phone numbers because... we're in Iceland.
Yeah, we're not going to be taking phone calls. There's just simply too much to talk about on our wonderful, wacky excursion to the top of the world.
Anyway, I normally say here he is to my left and to your right where I just point at him, but now he's sitting across from me at this giant table. Go ahead.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
And hi, and welcome to the show. I guess the first thing we have to do is explain what happened on Friday.
Right.
Now, you guys were probably disappointed that we weren't there, and maybe, Rob, I know you weren't. Maybe if you were listening to the show, you even noted that Mike and I cut some stuff, some ads and stuff, saying we're not here. We were there at the radio station, ready to do at least part of the show.
I believe that anybody that was driving around the Washington, D.C. area on Friday will understand exactly what our dilemma was, because I have lived in the greater Washington area for over 20 years, and I have never seen a day like that.
Well, it was raining. It was, I guess the excuse was Mother's Day.
I suppose now somehow Mother's Day is an excuse for people to take off. I think that's we were leaving.
Yeah.
And also the weather people had everybody in a panic because there was tornadoes in Kansas, and we had a chance of rain. And anyway, it took me like an hour and 10 minutes to get to work, and it took Mike over an hour. And by the time we got to work, and she's not here right now, so I'm going to say kudos to Michelle Combs. What's her married name?
Manti.
Michelle Manti.
What was it? You want to clear that throat first?
Can I get a plate over here, please?
Michelle Manti, who is the account executive, who she didn't wear her sport bra, incidentally, yesterday, and she really should have.
She really should have.
she's the sales weasel that set this trip up. So she has us flying out of the Baltimore airport on Friday afternoon. Now, normally, if there's no traffic to get from Washington to Baltimore, Washington International Airport, it takes you about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on 65, it takes you about an hour if there's no traffic at all. Friday afternoon, Mike and I made the decision, along with Rob and even the great non-believer, Charles Broyhill,
yes,
who called the traffic service
right
to verify the fact the traffic was effed up.
Yeah.
So we ended up leaving the station right before the show was going to go on the air so that we could go and catch the airplane.
But there was only one of our crew who early on, I believe a month or so ago, suggested an earlier departure time.
Hi, Mike. here's the problem, and we have nothing but good things to say about Iceland Air. Man,
oh,
is that a sweet flight?
Yeah.
The problem is they got like one flight a day.
They have two. Don't they have two?
Two.
Well, they got two? Well, then why weren't we on the other one?
Well, the other one leaves in the morning, and we were still thinking that we might be able to do some of the show, but with the traffic, there was no way we could do the show make it to the airport.
They got one that leaves in the morning and one leaves in the very late afternoon, bordering on evening.
Nighttime.
And we ended up getting on that flight.
Right.
And we thought, if we did like an hour of the show on Friday and we left at 4 o'clock, there would be a very good chance, being as we were flying international and there's all that 9/11 crap at the airport, that we were not going to be able to make our flight. Plus, we're bringing all this equipment over, and you know how they act now when you go through the metal detector if you have, like, a laptop or a DVD.
Takes a long time.
Try explaining the machine that plays this.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
You know, try explaining to the guy as he's looking at this piece of equipment that this is a giant digital recorder that plays sounds like that.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we made the decision. Sorry about Friday. There was nothing we could do about it. And as it turns out, it's a good thing that we left when we did.
Oh, yeah.
Because we made it to the airport with about an hour to spare. And there was going to be a car that was going to pick us up.
Yeah, and the car was scheduled to pick us up to be at the radio station at 5:30 Eastern time. Unfortunately, we had to leave earlier. It took us approximately 2 hours to get to the airport.
Two and a half.
Two and a half hours to get to the airport. And
now,
it was really...
We would not have made the flight, and so we were all very relieved that we had made the right decision.
Yeah. Now, here's where the fun begins. Here's how the groups broke up when we were leaving the station. I was going to drive, of course, you know, Mr. Type A. And I think Mike was going to drive as well, but Buzz was the wild card, and Buzz said, I want to drive.
Yes. Yeah, and I like Buzz's car, and I like riding with Buzz because Buzz lives, you know, in Fairfax, and so he's able usually to drop me off at the radio station. So it's become now kind of a routine that I travel with Buzz, and we did get a little competitive.
So it was Buzz and Mike in one car, and me and Rob and the Boy Hills in my car, and Buzz and Mike took off in front of us.
Who was in your car?
Rob, what did I say?
No, I'm sorry. I wanted you to say that again.
Listen, I love to hear it too.
I'll get to that. I've got a page on that.
Mike is a little. There's no better word to put it. He's a little jealous of the fact.
If you want to spin it that way, that's okay.
Of the fact, and I told you, you're my best friend. Mm-hmm. Rob's my best buddy.
Oh no. No. I'm not going to let you off that easily.
Rob thinks that, listen, just because I enjoy Rob's...
We could get into this right now. We should lead with this, really.
No, we shouldn't.
The page that I have written down, Rob and Don are gay.
No, we are going to do things in chronological order.
Very good.
Order,
I'll accept that.
And I am going to be able to give you evidence that we're not gay.
Okay.
We're just friends.
There was a strong theory, not from me, but from the Icelandic contingent,
yes,
that there might be something
from those
more...
guys, from Paul McCartney and the guy from Trainspotting? Those guys,
we have to get chronological order.
Okay,
we will get to it when we get to it.
All right, so boy, when we get to Rob with the earrings, though, that sure is going to be bad for my side.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey, on that one, I'm going to defend you because that was more comedy than gay.
It was also about greed.
We leave the station. and Buzz is in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, when you made the big left-hand turn by the Exxon station, where incidentally, if you missed that, you have to sit like 10 minutes for the lights to cycle.
Yeah.
Buzz made it through, and Robbie will tell you, I was pissed because I thought, oh, man, he's got like a 10-minute head start on us now.
I really thought, and Buzz is mildly competitive. I think when you're in this business in general, you're competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz is mildly competitive. I'm ridiculously, like you are, insanely competitive. And I was really confident that we were going to beat you to the airport. And, well, can I tell the story about getting to the airport? I mean, you jumped in.
Yeah, hold on. Before we get to the part where we saw you guys on the road and ended up passing you, as we were driving to the airport, we were listening to Oldies 100, right? And this old guy, this feeble guy, Johnny Dark is on.
Johnny Dark, who's been on in Washington, D.C. for a million years.
So all at once, you've got all of us calling. Me and Rob and Lisa and Charlie, who would have no part of anything. Charlie was...
Charlie was a bad boy on the day out here.
And also on the first day we were here.
Friday afternoon, Charlie was no one to mess with.
He got a real sour look on his face. We were driving in the car, and all I heard was the word sex.
Right.
You're going to be shocked. Rob was in the front seat by me, and the Boy Hills were in the back seat, and I heard the word sex. And I said, what was that? And Lisa said, oh, I was just telling Charlie I've never had sex in a foreign country. And I was just looking at him in the rearview mirror. And he was
there any reaction, or was he a monkey boy?
Frown. Just a frown, wearing his Marillion shirt.
He was so unpleasant on Friday.
So he was not speaking to anybody.
No, and he was speaking to me at the airport later when he went, F you!
But in the car, he wasn't speaking to anybody.
Right. Speaking two words at a time.
And we were calling, Oldies 100 because we all want to get on the air to make a jive request. Rob called first.
With a traffic like an update, like, I'm calling from the field and traffic is bad.
And then Lisa called, and then I called up, and I was a lucky one. Now, I didn't get on the air, but I said, hey, Johnny, I just want to say we love your show, and my mom, Phyllis, and of course that's Buzz's mom's name.
Right.
I said, my mom, Phyllis, is in the car, and she loves you. I said, say hi, Phyllis, and I thought Lisa was going to say hi, and instead Rob says,
like you were Phyllis in the car?
Exactly.
So then the next break, we hear it go, WBIG, and he goes, Johnny Dark, 417, happy Mother's Day, Phyllis. This one's for you. Oh,
that's great.
Here's Walk Away, Renee.
That's fantastic.
So we were pleased that we made the call to the radio station. And it, also, in between the calls to the station, we're constantly calling Buzz and Mike saying, where are you?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the two-way call game.
The problem was, well, that lasted until somehow mysteriously my little slimline phone slipped under Buzz's seat into a position where I could not retrieve it due to the size of me and the size of Buzz's car.
So we're calling Mike and we're calling Buzz and we're saying, where are you? And Mike is really rubbing it into me, saying, because we are in traffic that's just not moving. Mike says, you're about a mile behind us, Mr. Smarty Pants.
And you say to me, very confidently, you say, well, once we get to 95 and it opens up, we'll take care of that. And I somehow, deep in my heart, even though I never saw you pass us, I knew that that was true.
And, yeah, we got to 95 north, and it was still bumper to bumper, but then at one point it broke open.
Yeah.
And
you know, I will give credit to Buzz. He tries to be an aggressive driver, but he just can't do it.
I'm politely aggressive.
He's politely aggressive. And the one problem and the reason you were successfully able to pass us
is because I'm a better driver.
Is as far as I've driven with both of you, and got to give credit where credit is due. As far as an aggressive driver, you're up there.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, both of you, you know, he's you know.
You're right.
He knows how to do it.
I agree.
What the problem was, you would have beaten him.
Mm-hmm.
You would have beaten him. Buzz and I do not get a chance to chat very often.
Right.
He's over in his studio. We just, you know, we say goodnight when we're walking out in the evening. We don't get a chance. And occasionally, it's catch-up time, and we just do a lot of talking. And in this case, Buzz was probably doing more talking than I was. Buzz was just talking and talking. And here is where the breakdown occurred. Buzz decided he would tell the story of his hiring and the whole litany. And as soon as he dove into that,
when you're playing the oldies in
no, about how I worked for you guys for a month before I ever got paid,
living in the Holiday Inn, Ken Stevens not knowing that he wasn't getting a paycheck.
Oh, and that's a great story, Mike.
Let me tell you something. Multitasking not his forte. When he began to tell that story that he was concentrating on, the driving part of the equation ceased.
You know, I'm an entertainer first.
We were going red 30.
You know. We're going 11 miles an hour, and Buzz is saying, and then we were in the Holiday Inn, and I'm like, please change lanes.
We're on 95, and there was this old lady in a big-ass Cadillac like yours, Mike, that was doing about 50 in the left-hand lane, and I mean, I'm really inches away from her ass just saying, move. And the only goal is, I knew we were going to make the flight
right
to beat you guys.
And here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how you beat us, but I was looking for you.
Well,
I was, especially when Buzz was telling the story about the Holiday Inn, and I'm like, oh, he's going to dust us now.
Tell you what, because Buzz was in the far right-hand lane,
right.
The slow person's lane, the old person's lane.
Well, in fairness to Buzz, he had a knack. It was a bad luck issue because I was, you know, we were kind of commiserating on what lane to go into.
Yeah.
We'd go into the left lane, that would be the lane that stopped. We'd go into the right lane, that. But as far as when he started telling the story, just chuck it. We started going 12 miles an hour.
Lisa's the one who said from the back seat, she said, I see it. I see his car.
See, Lisa's competitive, too.
I said, where is it? She said, 3 o'clock. So I turn and I look, and yeah, about 3 o'clock, there it is. And we knew it was Buzz because we saw the left. And Buzz is extremely dangerous just to dangle your arm outside.
Really?
Yeah, well, and it wasn't it was like going back and forth outside the door.
Can I tell that? Sure. That's why he was having a smoke.
He had a smoke in the car. I hang it out the car. Yeah.
He smokes a lot.
Oh, shocker. You know, when are you going to try to... Who are you hiding that from?
Nobody.
Your dad? Your mom?
At this point, nobody.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we pass him up, and there's great joy in our car. And immediately, everybody starts calling Mike.
We would have gotten you if I'd been more competitive. I was really... I could have actually said, okay, Buzz, it's a good story. Get in the middle lane.
So we were all trying to call Mike, and I figured the reason that I figured you'd seen us and that you just had turned your telephone off.
Because I'm that good. No, I knew, we thought it was you, and as soon as, like, the fourth ring occurred, I knew, oh, they're ahead of us. And sure enough, We finally get to the airport, and I have Buzz call right before that as we're coming in, and you guys are already there. And I'm just like, God.
So we get to the airport, and now this is where the fun begins. Because as it turns out, with all this consternation about when should we leave, are we going to miss the plane, we get there about an hour before we got aboard the plane. So we do the thing where we check the bags, and we get the passports, and we exchange money, and we go through the metal detector. And now we got about an hour. And we're in this Iceland Air Lounge.
Yeah, it's a multi-lounge for several different airlines. But
they got
very, very nice.
They're
really
there's Michelle Sportsbra, who's joining us. And you'll hear from her later on the show. It's her account. Iceland Air is her account.
You having a little vino? You have a little,
oh my God.
You have a little wine?
Wow.
A little wine here in Iceland.
You know,
she's a party girl.
We'll tell you about the nutty Iceland the time structure. First off, we're 4 hours ahead of you. When we're done with the show tonight, it's going to be, it's almost time machine because it's almost going to be tomorrow.
Right.
By the time we get off the air tonight, it's going to be 11 o'clock.
But it'll still
real
be,
time.
It'll still be daylight.
Yeah, that's nutty. So we're in this lounge. I want to get to the best part of this. We're in this lounge and we're drinking. Not heavily.
No.
It's the pre-drunk
right.
Before we get on the airplane.
This would be when I'm about a drink ahead of all of you.
And Lisa has on these big hoop earrings. As a matter of fact, she's wearing them today.
Right.
Mike said to Rob, how much to get...
No, I gave him the offer right off the bat. I said, I will pay you $40 if you put those on... And you keep them on. And Rob says, through takeoff? I said, deal. Done.
Now, when Rob had these on, it would go between looking like Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
He's got that big head.
Right.
Or looking like a big faggot. or looking like a cross-dresser, a tranny of some type.
Or maybe even some sort of wrestler.
the thing is, you could... Rob had these giant hoop earrings on, and...
Tasteful.
You could look at him and talk to him.
That was pretty funny, wasn't it, Charlie? I love having Charlie in the room with us.
You could look at him and talk to him and not realize that he had them on, and then when you would focus on the earrings,
right,
that's when you'd lose it.
Absolutely.
Well, I turned my head, and they tickled because I don't have my ears pierced anymore. No, I've never had my ears pierced, so I had to, like, clip them above my lobe.
Right.
And I'd turn my head, and they just wiggled so wacky it would tickle, and I'd see them like...
Now, sidebar, I have to tell you just very quickly, talking about Charlie's mood. As we went into this lounge, before the earring incident...
Oh, my God.
We were ahead of Charlie and Lisa. They were somewhere behind us, like, looking for the lounge that we were in. Charlie calls my cell phone and says... Where are you? I said, we're in the Chesapeake Bay Lounge. Where's that? And I said, it's somewhere in the airport, Charlie. Like in that voice, like doing something that he would do. And he goes, F you, where are you? And I said, Charlie, we're somewhere in the airport. Click. And he hangs up. And then I called him back later and he wouldn't answer the phone.
Oh. Charlie was really in a bad mood.
He was in a horror. I mean, the worst mood I think I've ever seen him in.
He was in a bad mood every day until yesterday. It wasn't until Sunday that he came out of the funk.
I saw him for 5 seconds yesterday, first time I saw him. I knew immediately all was right with the world. It was the back to the old Charlie. He was
even
perky.
When we were at the train spotting dinner at one point on Saturday night. He just got into the discussion out of the blue with Lisa about how he wants to marry her, and they're going to get married, but I think he'd be happy if no one was at the wedding.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any... Yeah, he's not... He doesn't want anyone to come to the wedding.
Buzz and I, last night at dinner, I think it was Buzz that I leaned over to, and I said, look at him. Look at him over there.
Yeah, he's very... Listen, he's already...
I feel sorry for him.
He's already been domesticated and neutered. And, well, listen.
He likes people. It's just no one will ever know it as long as he lives.
He's doing all this stuff on this trip just because Lisa's here. I mean, have you ever known Charlie to go to a mud bath? No. Have you ever known Charlie to go horseback riding?
Hey, we will tell you about that that thermal pool, the Blue Lagoon.
The fecal swim?
Oh, it was no.
Nice. So hold on. We're missing the best part of this.
Yes, back to the earrings, and I'm sorry to digress.
Rob has the earrings on. We're leaving the lounge because it's time to board the airplane.
I'm hurting. My side is hurting. I'm laughing so hard.
We're all laughing. We're all cracking up.
So funny. It's the funniest thing he's done in a million years.
There is a wheelchair out front of the lounge. Rob says...
No, I said to the lady. I went into the... I said, is anyone using this? Can I borrow this? She said, yes, but, and the ladies liked us. The ladies in the lounge liked all of us.
Yeah, we got to give a lots of love and snaps up to the...
Chesapeake Lounge. Is it the Chesapeake Bay Lounge or the...
Chesapeake Lounge.
The Chesapeake Lounge.
At BWI.
The ladies working there could not have been nice. She says, well, somebody's going to need it later, but I'll walk down. She knew exactly what I was doing. She said, I'll walk down there with you.
So here's the setup. You got Rob wearing the earrings, being pushed in the wheelchair by Mike and by me, and walking with us is a representative from the airline.
Yes. So look now. Completely legit. Now,
here's where the boy puts it over the top.
Right.
When we get out into the concourse, Rob starts doing his retard thing.
It was right exactly opposite Hudson News because there was people looking.
Rob decides that he's going to do the infirmary trip.
He's acting like he's got the
firm.
He's got the palsy, and he starts saying,
plane, fly. So we get down to where the plane is already boarding, and there's a line of people, and I get up there and I say, excuse me, we need to get this wheelchair through here.
Meanwhile, Rob's still doing it.
Rob's going, plane.
My favorite one is when I said, ear, and Don said, yes, very pretty.
Very pretty ear.
Rob has giant, you know, for a girl to our right, like Lisa's right. Wearing, it looked nice on Lisa.
Right.
On Rob, giant queer earrings.
But he's not pinching them on the lobe. He's hooking them over his inner ears.
Yeah.
So they look like if he was pierced, we'd be pierced through the cartilage.
He's wearing earrings. He's doing this thing with his hand.
The hand is like off at this jaunty angle where he's going, plane, plane. We get to the line of people, and I say, very seriously, excuse me, we need to get this wheelchair through here. And at that very moment, a woman who had been in the lounge with us says, yeah. I know who you are. He was walking beforehand. And I'm like, all right, joke's over. But the earrings
stay on.
Yeah, and at that moment, it really could not feel any more awkward when you have to get out of a wheelchair wearing earrings after being caught pretending to be retarded.
Yes.
Pain.
You know, and I don't know how he possibly managed to pull that off because we were dying. I mean, all of us.
It was, you know.
I think even Charlie laughed at it. Even Charlie. You laughed. Yeah, Charlie laughed. Rob did it with a straight face. Well, not with a straight face, because you had that crooked face that... And
the beauty of that act is laugh, it's okay.
He had the hand going halfway up and the fingers all...
Fly? But here's the strange part. After he got out of the wheelchair, after that, the people that were around were kind of like, yeah, they're just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was really mad. We weren't getting dagger looks. We were just getting people accepting the fact
shrug.
That this is the way we are. This is it. You know,
so
it's crazy.
We got on the plane, and Rob continued to wear the earrings.
Right,
get the 40 bucks.
Through takeoff. And he looked over at me after the plane had taken off, and I'm sitting there. I said, you have fulfilled it. You have done your mission. You have done. Hey, Magnus!
Hey. He loves us.
Hey, there's Magnus.
That's our Icelandic buddy here.
Mananus, who's the guy. Magni.
Martin.
Magnum.
Madison.
Magnus.
Martin.
He's the dude from Iceland there. Let's bring him over for a second just to say hi, and then we can talk about him once he leaves. Here he is.
He's going to be here for a whole time, so we'll have to talk about him when he's sitting here.
Oh, will we really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's probably going to be
I thought you weren't going to come like for an hour, dude. Hey, here's Magnus.
Hi, Magnus.
Hi.
Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
So you are a representative of Iceland Air.
I am.
And we've said what a great flight we had over. We were just starting to get into that.
Aren't we the greatest people you've ever worked with?
Absolutely.
Do you?
I'm going to need some serious help when I get back with this week.
Now, listen, we need the honest answer, and I think our audience can deal with this.
All right.
You spent the last 2.5 days with us.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ugly Americans? If you think so, just say it, dude.
Do I have to?
Yes. Are we ugly Americans?
Nothing but the truth.
Were you embarrassed to be out with us the last two nights?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. That's great.
No, I really enjoyed it. You guys are great.
We are fun. We have a good time.
Your friends hated us, though, right?
No, absolutely not. They loved you.
Well, not according to Mike.
Well, no, that's one guy.
That's later in the show, though.
No. And I have to. I'm going to tell
the
story.
That's just the Paul McCartney guy?
I'm going to tell the story of the dinner. And the Paul McCartney guy loved all of us. Mm-hmm. It was just one part of the evening, the end of the evening. And it's a significant commentary on life in general.
And
guys and chicks and everything. And being 43. Which I think might be the real reason.
Hey, Magnum, we got a break here. But what would you like to say about Iceland, being as this is probably the only chance you're going to have to do a free commercial before we get into what we were doing here?
What do I like to say about Iceland? Well, it's my native country, so of course for me it's the best country in the world. Mm-hmm. That's where I leave it.
Are you still hungover?
A bit, yeah.
Hour 40.
Well, you just better get over that before tonight, okay?
Because
once the show's over, Daddy's partying.
And incidentally, I don't want, you know, we get way ahead of ourselves, but I want to say, Mike said a new personal best.
Mm-hmm. I have set my out-time record, and I could
all
not
time.
Be the all-time record for sustained partying. And, you know, are you going to give me the benefit of during the day?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you
this. There was no nap or anything. It was really just running up and catching a shower.
I know.
But the partying continued.
But you know, I'm not even counting. You know, if you actually count the time that you guys went to the
Blue Lagoon,
went to the fecal soup, and Magnus,
you know, like Mike, I bring a lot of people over here, and I was very, very impressed with your performance.
Thank you very much. Wow. I appreciate that. Thank
He's a world class drinker. Isn't
he? Yeah, he is.
Thank you so much.
I set a personal record myself.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I
Buzz came along for the ride.
Yeah,
you know, the hours. I think if you really count it. When we went to the Blue Lagoon, would have been, what time, about 3:30-ish? Would that be 3:30?
Yeah, about 4, I think.
4 o'clock, let's say 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And then you got back.
If you count getting back to the hotel, I got back to the hotel at 6:30 in the morning.
14 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, listen, we got a break. We have tons of stuff to tell you about. Plus, we have tape to prove some of what we're going to say on today's show.
Right. And then, of course, my theory that everybody's very concerned about.
No, you're concerned because I'm friends with Rob.
No.
You're concerned because Rob and I enjoy each other's company.
Well, if you want to mount that argument, that's fine. But I've got evidence right here.
You have evidence what?
Giggling on the plane, leaving the restaurant together at 11 o'clock. Coming down to lunch together, coming down to dinner together.
Sensible men living sensible lives.
Having a sensible schedule.
Yeah.
A coincidence.
Rob wants to go horseback riding. Dom wants to go to the mall. They decide to go to the mall.
Well, we could have gone the other way. We got a break. Because, Mike, in a give-and-take relationship with someone you love, that's what you do.
Go either way.
Oh, that is so cruel.
You give and you
that's
take.
That's cruel. That's a divorce joke.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's how you're interpreting it.
You're slamming me for having divorces because
you're not.
For Rob.
No, I'm not.
No, actually, it's a relationship. It's love that I've never seen before, mm-hmm. Don. You're absolutely right. I've never seen it in my life.
We have to break. Oh, and I know we all want to say to our wives and our significant others, a happy Mother's Day. Sorry that we missed that yesterday.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day to both my ex-wife and my mom.
What's this?
Amen. We got a break. We're live in Iceland. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. His love of animals put him into a tank with a killer whale and gave him a close encounter with Coco, the mountain gorilla that learned sign language from her keepers.
A mountain gorilla? This is gigantic. I got scared. So the only thing I could think of was to say to Coco, I love you, Coco. Because I knew that if I said I love you, then I'd start to feel I love you. It's a simple actor's trick. I love you, Coco, my advanced honor. I love you, Coco. Coco, I love you. And I knew that my body was softening. I love you, Coco. And I got right in front of her. I said, Coco, and I looked into her deep brown eyes. I said, I love you, Coco. She put her hand out and grabbed me by the balls.
The Don and Mike Show. Your beacon of hope in a sea of mediocrity. The Don and Mike Show.
You're as cold as appreciate the wacky Iceland music. We have, besides Cold as Ice today, we have, get it, Freeze Frame, Fire and Ice, Ice Baby,
right?
She's So Cold, Running on Ice, And Rob's choice, Snowbird.
Snowbird by Anne Murray, which, well,
no,
I hate to beat a dead horse, but I think that falls into the category.
It is gay. He's got the Elvis version, though.
Oh, the Elvis version? I didn't know Elvis did Snowbird.
Well, there's a lot you don't know about me.
So listen, here we are. We're live from Iceland via Iceland Air, mm-hmm. and... Here's where we are. We're going to just go through this chronologically to tell you what we've done, because this is what Iceland Air wants. They want us to talk about how great Iceland is, and we'll get to that eventually.
Before you start, I just want to say where we're broadcasting from is on the 8th floor. It's an observatory floor.
At our hotel.
From the Nordica Hotel in Iceland, and I'll tell you, it is the
way
most,
to go. Now I got to change my name.
It is the most beautiful view I have ever seen in my life. It is gorgeous, and they deserve a mention whether we get calls all night or not.
I'm going to have to change my name. And incidentally, Mike is at his happiest right now. Mike is not just reclining. Mike is laying down on a couch.
Hi there. This is... Now, I don't think, seriously, and if I can be serious for a second, I don't think this is so big a piece of furniture that it would not fit into our studio at home. Yeah.
Okay, Steve Dahl.
Thank you. That's how you get me to sit up again.
I used to know a disc jockey. That guy used to be real mean to me, and he would actually do his whole show laying down on the couch.
Well, I have no intention of doing that.
So we're on the plane. Okay, Rob's taking his earrings off, and as we mentioned, if you come to Iceland, well, you got to take Iceland Air, right? It's like the only airline that flies here, and it's just a kick-ass airline. Really,
really great.
Really big seats, and like they give you a DVD movie, and they give you the booze, and they give you the beer. What's the percentage of the beer, guys?
There's a beer over here called Viking beer that's over 5% alcohol.
That's like malt liquor.
It's delicious.
On the plane, I was drinking Ale Gold. That's only a 5.2, I think.
Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
So this is where Mike originally had his problem with Rob and I. The fact, and this was not by our choice. Rob and I were seated together by chance, and you were just in the next aisle over.
Now, let me say, you've made an error. You've said something that is incorrect, and I want to make this very clear. You seem to think that I have a problem. I may have had a problem in the past. I've worked through that. This is not a problem anymore. This is simply...
This is a revelation?
This is an observance, and I've never... I think you would even agree that of all the road trips we've taken, it's never been this passionate.
Johnny? I've never been in a country with as little to do.
Oh, that's not true.
As this one. Now,
that is not.
I'm sorry, Magnum. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me.
There's plenty to do. It's
sure,
just,
there's plenty to do if you like going outside and looking at stuff.
As some people do.
And frankly, the TV channels are rather limited, so I gotta have the boy. We entertain each other.
I understand. I think
by looking at the pseudo German writing,
even on the plane, as you were mentioning the plane, though, and God, that laugh! There it is. I heard that laugh on the plane, that unhinged jaw laugh that literally vibrates the 757 that we're on. You know, I'm having trouble breathing in this position.
Why don't you sit up?
You notice that I'm talking like
that? Hey, Rob, do you have the message? Like, here's one of the things that we were laughing at when you thought that we're sharing some kind of gay.
I'm not saying you're sharing. You're sharing what you're sharing. Your joy together is something that I simply observe. You were sitting next to each other. I happened to be sitting in an aisle. The seat next to me was empty. And I casually observed as I'm watching my DVD and I'm enjoying my cocktails. I was watching occasionally. And every time I would look over there, your heads were almost touching because you were leaning in towards one another. Mm-hmm. Giggling like a couple of schoolgirls.
Well, and it's because we're telling the jokes that you don't like.
I know. We're politically incorrect.
We're talking about all the stuff that you don't like.
I understand.
But one of the things that... Now, Rob, do you have the thing from the menu?
Yes, I do. I have it written down.
Would you please read it to us? This is something that was on the menu that was handed to us on Iceland Air, and it meant so much to us that it's now going to be our mantra.
Very good.
Rob?
A kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf and an empty cup... I found myself a friend.
There we go.
That nice?
Charlie, did you fart? Did you fart?
Of course.
Again.
That's,
you know, God, Charlie.
Now
God,
that's,
damn it.
That's the kind of stuff that Rob and I were laughing at.
Oh, well, that I laugh at.
No, not that, the fart. I meant the thing on the...
You can't laugh at that fart. Oh, my God. Charlie Broyhill. No need to communicate with words when you can do it with your butt. So...
So we're on this plane, and we all settle into a nice rhythm.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that Iceland is in the future. Iceland is 4 hours ahead of us, so the plane is going to arrive in Iceland real time, East Coast time, at 2:30 a.m. However, in Iceland, it's already 6:30 a.m. Does the fart smell that bad?
Yeah, because you know where I am? I'm in the corner and on my sofa bed. I'm on the corner in here, and the stink has actually it's settled upon me. That's not. Are you all right?
No.
That smells,
you know what that
ill.
Is? That's foreign food. That's like all that fish and junk he's been eating.
Yeah,
all
right. And they eat a lot of cheese over here. He's never done well with dairy. I know. I used to share an office with him.
All right. Well, I interrupted, and I'll try
to ignore it. We get maybe, and I think I did the best, 2 hours of sleep on this flight.
The freakiest thing was my watch was still on D.C. time, and I looked, and it said 1:30, and the sun was coming up outside the plane. And
I actually did well on the airplane. I think it was just the way the service was and everything, the way they did it, and I slept on the plane, which is very, very rare for me.
But it's nutty. When I woke up, I saw Mike was awake already. Because the sun was up. And the sun was up at 1:30 a.m. real time.
I know they have a morning flight, and I know that they have an evening flight. But I will tell you, it is almost worth it to take the evening flight just to watch. You know, you're flying up to the top of the world, and you can see
looking
at one point.
Creation.
No, just looking at the. Looking down.
I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation.
As I was saying, we're flying across, and you see the moon and you see the sunrise at the same time, and it is just a. I'm gonna smack you, Rob. I'm gonna smack you.
I'm goofy.
I gotta sit up. I'm getting all congested.
So, all right. So the plane arrives. And we go through customs, and as it turns out, there are two dudes that are in the kiosks, and there's one guy, the guy on the right, who wants to ask everybody, what, did he just fart again?
No, but I still smell it.
There's one guy, when you're going through customs, who, with everybody, he is very intense, and he says, how long have you been in the country? Where are you staying? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the guy on the other side, if you were in the left-hand side, the lucky side,
right.
He just took your passport, stamped it, and just let you right through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got through.
It's amazing. He looked at me and he said, he stamped it. He said, not too many drugs, right? I said, nope. And went right through.
Yeah.
And you know what? At the airport, you're the only guy that got profiled this time again. At BWI,
yeah,
didn't
it
you
was
get?
My stupid mistake because I know now, and we've traveled so much since the whole security thing that I basically have to strip naked before I even go through the thing. I had my cell phone in my pocket, like a moron, and I had change in the other pocket, and then I set the thing off.
Oh.
And who am I kidding? I actually like to get felt up by the security.
We arrive in Iceland. We make it through this rigorous security. We get our bags. We change some money over.
Mm-hmm.
Went in the store. I got my cigars right away. You know, got to have your priority. Got some nice Cuban cigars. We go outside, and we get in this van, and the driver of the van looks like Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes.
Great guy.
Poor Mike.
Yeah, there was a language barrier there.
This is one where Mike took it for the team.
But I chose it. I chose to sit up front with the driver because when I'm in a new place, I want to get it all, I want to experience it all, and I want to sit up front and see what's going on.
It's a 45-minute ride from the airport to the hotel in Reykjavik.
Reykjavik,
where we're at right now. And we are all just dead-ass tired because now... Real time, which I keep referring to D.C. time, it's 3:30 in the morning. However, over here, it's 7:30, and it's bright sunshine. And we've gotten like 2 hours of sleep, and we had some drinks on the plane. And everybody in the back of the bus is just in that crabby, tired mood. And poor Mike was sitting next to the driver who wanted to start the travelogue.
He was doing his job. He's doing what I'm sure people probably crave, which is giving the blow-by-blow description, and I thought I wanted to hear it, and then I realized how tired I was, and so it degenerated into me going, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh.
And then he
yep.
tried to teach you how to say some words. And
that's when he liked me, when he was trying to teach me how to say thank you very much, which is talk. That's the first part of it, and then the second part I still can't pronounce. It's like,
this is a great show for the rest of us because we were sleepy, groggy, mad. You know that way you get when you're sleep deprived.
Cranky.
And we were all watching Mike. Thanks, bud. Yeah, bus, cranky. Watching Mike having to go through this with the guy, having to feign that he's interested in what Sergeant Schultz is telling him.
Right.
And he's saying, meanwhile, he's saying, and to the left, we have the mountains. And Mike is having to give that look at, like, yes, I'm paying attention.
Well, he's giving me, before, when you land at the airport, you go through several small towns before you get to the capital of Reykjavik. And he is giving me the town names, and I'm not understanding them. And then I would ask an occasional question, and there'd be a little bit of a yes. I understand the Reykjavik. Reykjavik, go around. This is the town of the Sonic, but it's asking me that. And I'm sitting there going, uh-huh.
So
it was just strange.
We finally got to the hotel, and a nice hotel it is.
Beautiful.
You're going to find that we're going to be talking like that a lot. A nice hotel it is, because the only two movies that they run constantly are Star Wars and Scooby-Doo.
In our hotel.
And I'm... Oh, and the shipping news.
Shipping news, right.
Doesn't count, though, the shipping news. And I've been watching Star Wars all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, go get them, we will. I mean, it's the whole Yoda thing.
Go get them, we will. Go get them, we will. Have a good time, yes. Iceland, we are in.
We get to the hotel. We get to the hotel at 8 a.m. Iceland time, which is 4 a.m. East Coast time.
And it was obvious it was a Saturday morning because it looked like there had been an evening the night before. You know,
yeah.
There was evidence of a partying culture which excited me.
Now, they originally had a plan for us to go to the fecal baths at 3.
Now, the Blue Lagoon, I'm not going to let you slam the Blue Lagoon.
No.
It was beautiful.
You tell me when we get back home if you get ringworm or not.
The Blue Lagoon, I will tell you.
It actually cures it.
Look, this might sound gay, and there's not that there's anything wrong with that, but I will tell you, and I said this to Lisa. Lisa will agree with me. I have never, my skin has never felt better.
Agreed.
Even at 43, I get an occasional blemish. They're gone. Was that a burp? Was that too deep?
Yeah.
Was that your burp all the way across the room?
8 feet off mic.
If you want, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you about the Blue Lagoon. And
I want to hear about it in detail.
It was fantastic.
Here's the schedule they had for us. Plane arrives in Iceland at 6:20 Iceland time. That's 2:20 a.m.
Come to the Blue Lagoon in Iceland. You won't regret it, my friend.
Arrive at hotel 7:30 a.m. That's 2:30 a.m. real time. Then at 1:50, so they got 7:30, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. They give you 6 hours to sleep.
Right.
Before it's time to go to the Blue Lagoon.
6 hours that I used, too, because I went out like a rock, yeah. and I woke up feeling just incredibly perky.
I did. I couldn't sleep. I slept for about 2 hours, and I woke up and ended going next door to the little 24-hour grocery.
Right.
And then down to the dumb workout place. And you guys, when I saw you guys, of course, I hooked up with Rob. We spent a little time together talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because he's my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking.
And incidentally,
I'm not saying anything.
Unreachable, room 901. I've tried to call you like every time, and I don't get an answer.
You don't get an answer in my room?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, there it is now.
So here's the deal, that we have the choice of going to the Blue Lagoon, which is an earth-warmed, rich lake surrounded by lava. Basically, here's the deal. It's a natural-occurring hot tub outside.
Charles Breuil, Iceland's newest geothermal energy source.
And based on the fact that we had to go out on Saturday night,
nice.
I didn't know if I wanted to spend, and looking at this thing.
Yeah, if you look at the itinerary, you're going to shy away from stuff because the period of time. Well,
I got like 4 hours.
I'm going to explain the whole thing.
For you to go to the fecal soup.
And I'm going to explain the whole thing about the Blue Lagoon and why they put that much time down. It's not that it's far away. It's that when you get there, and I mean every one of us,
mm-hmm.
once you get there and you get in that thing, you don't want to leave. You could stay there. We had Magnus was with us and said, "Hey, we better get going now." We would have stayed in that thing for another 2 hours. Yeah. It was that. You're rolling your eyes.
I got the same effect in my bathtub this morning. I swear to God, I cut a couple of farts.
No,
I took a nice BM
it's different.
In my bathtub.
It's.
And I said, "This is just like being at the Blue Lagoon."
No. The Blue Lagoon.
So Rob,
kicks ass.
Okay, in the next break, we're going to talk about how we spent this time on Saturday afternoon when there was a scheduled trip to the Blue Lagoon.
All of us and the entire crew went to the Blue Lagoon.
Except for Rob.
Two stayed behind.
Yeah, and let me point out that when it's time to go to the glaciers, all went except four stayed behind.
Right.
So, you know, tit for tat.
Yeah.
Language.
That's true.
So, you know, you guys didn't show for the big thing yesterday.
Well, there's, I have an obvious explanation for that.
And I have an explanation, too, that I don't like bathing in water that has thousands of people with, like...
There weren't thousands.
Recycles every 30 minutes.
And you believe that?
Absolutely.
Listen, this is the biggest lie that I heard, and Lisa kept saying it over and over. The water recycles every 30 minutes. Yeah, that's what they tell you.
Uh-huh. It does. You have not. Before we leave this wonderful country, I'm drugging your soup and I'm bringing you over there.
I'm not going to the fecal soup.
It's fantastic.
But I'm glad you guys had fun.
Great. It was great. People say when you come over here, if you do one thing, go to the Blue Lagoon. I couldn't agree more. It was fantastic.
I say if you do one thing, stay in your room and watch Scooby-Doo and Star Wars. Or you could watch the TV show Harry. Hold on. I wrote down the title of it.
Is Harry in the Boat?
Is Harry in the Boat?
That sounds good. I didn't see that. No.
It's a teenage TV show.
Channel 1, right?
Yeah, on Channel 1 that has, you see girls... boobs constantly.
Hmm. Like exposed?
Yeah.
In the promo, it's like a 15-second promo. 12 seconds of it is just breasts.
Wow. And Harry appears...
Channel 1?
Yeah, Harry appears...
I'll be right back.
Harry appears to be about 17,
yes.
Uh-huh. And the girls appear to be just, you know, as Buzz likes them, barely legal.
Wow.
Yeah. And all over. Just there's boobs all over this. Huh. Harry on the Boat.
Huh. How about the babes in this country, huh?
Oh.
I've seen some good. Some good ones.
Yeah, shame that old Magnus couldn't introduce me to any of them.
Well, didn't he introduce you to his girlfriend?
Yeah, she was hot, too. Yeah, it was real nice meeting his girlfriend.
We have to break. We'll get to the fecal soup and Rob and I exploring the city, and then you don't want to miss the Saturday night and the Sunday, and we got the tapes of the Sunday and the problems that in. Followed. We do have to break.
I love this country. I could stay here.
Mm. I love the city of Iceland. I want to say that right now. I've never been in a greater city than Iceland.
It's a great city.
And hooray to the new king. They had the big election day.
Prime Minister.
Wonderful coronation.
Do you know his name, the new king?
Yes, it's Fish.
Is it Fish?
No, it's Kong.
It's vitamin.
It's crab.
That's another one of their private jokes. See them giggling?
Yeah. Look at them go.
God damn, I hate that.
We're going to break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. One, two, three, four. What a asshole. Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling what an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
The Don and Mike Show. It sure beats a pickaxe in the gonads. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, we're back. We're live from Iceland. Buzz, you just made it back. God knows where you're going during these breaks.
I don't know.
God knows, but
tough to find a can of insurance in this hotel.
there he is, and you've missed all kinds of sounds during this break.
Oh, lucky me.
Sounds from Mike. Sounds from Lisa.
Oh, I don't care what time of day it is. Sometimes you need a little snack.
So the deal is we're in Iceland, which is. Wacky, nutty, because like it never gets dark here.
Very, very cool.
And even though here it's like after 8 o'clock already at nighttime, and it's still absolutely bright.
Yes,
it's like sunny. It's like early afternoon.
I believe the sun leaves us in Iceland at about midnight.
Yeah,
and then comes back up a little before 2. Is that right?
Around 3 this time of year.
I have either been inside. Trying to sleep or in a bar when that's happened.
Very dark. It never gets very dark. It always sort of hangs around dusk.
And you won't live any longer and you won't ever die.
So here's where we are. We've arrived at the hotel. I'm going to try to keep this on track here.
All right.
Chronologically, we've arrived at the hotel. We've got a couple hours of sleep. Our body clocks are all effed up. And we have the option of going to the Blue Lagoon, the BM Bath, or not going. I chose not to go, independent of anybody else, just because that's the way I am.
Well, technically independent. But well, I mean, when you...
It was a coincidence that Rob decided not to go, too.
That's right. No, I'm sorry. I won't go along with that.
Well, you know what?
That's like when we decided we were going to go horseback riding today, and Rob said, "I'm really looking forward to that." And then you said, "I want to go." You said, "I want to go." Did you not say you wanted to go horseback riding?
He said, "Who would go horseback?"
Now let me.
Riding?
If I have to turn the guns on you, it's going to be ugly.
I did, and then I changed my mind.
Now what you said, you were sitting at the table before Don came downstairs. We were all going to go horseback riding, and then Don said, "I want to go to the mall," and you said, "I'll go to the mall." Actually, Don, you did have to talk me into going.
I think I said.
Wait, Lisa wants to jump in here.
Oh, hold on. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how you doing? What happened was that you said, "I'm going to go to the mall with my friend Charlie." And Charlie looked at me and then looked back at you and said, "I'm going horseback riding." Then you looked at Rob.
Because he's pussy whipped now.
Right. And then you look at Rob and go, "Come to the mall with me." And he goes, "Okay."
Because he's pussy whipped now.
Now, hold on. Let me just say on behalf of...
I'm done. I'm not going to say anything more.
Now I'm going to say on behalf of Rob and myself, we are the only guys on this trip who have managed time properly. We are the only guys who realize that you have to adapt to the time zone and that you're nuts. And I think the evidence would be you yesterday morning when you got like 1 hour of sleep.
But you have to understand that I had no intention of going on the glacier trip, and that was
But you wanted to be invited.
But I wanted you to call me half an hour prior just in case.
You wanted Rob to call you.
Damn it, that got out. That little factoid got out.
You wanted Rob to call you.
Listen, now, Rob would actually tell you that the night before, probably even before we ate, I said, "Well, I know you're going out, but I know I'm going to have a big night." I had planned for the record-setting evening. I didn't know it would go as late as it did. But I said, "Just call me just in case there's any chance," because it was late enough in the morning where I said there might be a chance.
Let's wait for that to happen naturally, because that's such a great one. that's a record-setting night.
That is a record-setting night, and that's it. You know, I think that's... I have exhausted all my Don Rob material, and I appreciate you giving me the voice in the forum.
Let me just
on
say,
this fine stage.
You know, before we move on with the show,
gentlemen.
Rob and I planned our time accordingly. Yeah. You know, figuring that you're going to go to bed real time, East Coast time, at about 8 o'clock at night.
And not together.
I keep wanting to close the book on this, and then you'll say something that makes me laugh.
No, you and Rob did plan
your time with each other properly.
No, you hit the sack at about midnight, Iceland time, which is 8 o'clock back at home. Then you wake up at about 8 a.m., Iceland time, which is like 4 a.m.
Right.
East Coast time.
This is a party town, and they had their elections.
Yeah.
And you don't go to sleep at 11:30 or 12 o'clock.
We did.
Huh?
I had already voted. There was no need for me to stay up.
But it was like celebratory, and everybody was up. And, you know, I was in the majority of human beings here.
We have to get, and I guess we got to get to the mud bath first.
Right.
But then both Rob and I have a great bone to pick, and we'll start with Magnus and with you, about this entire city comes alive thing, because when Rob and I left that restaurant on Saturday night at what time, 11 o'clock?
11 or 11:30.
11 sharp.
Okay, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Right, an hour before people come out.
Right. Where's that unwritten rule? It was like walking, Rob said, at one point we're walking down the street, it's like we're at Universal Studios. We're walking down the street.
It looks
and
like a set of a big city.
He could clap his hands.
Do you want an explanation for that?
And you could hear the echo.
That, you know what that is? Here in Iceland, people have private parties up until about midnight. Is that correct? And then at midnight, they venture out. I mean, almost like clockwork, midnight is the witching hour. That's when people head out to the clubs and the bars here. And that's why you guys...
Well, right-thinking people know that, you know, if you want to party... Hey, dudes,
they were partying, but they were indoors.
Yeah. Start your party. Or open your bars. Open your businesses.
They're open.
They're open.
Did you see anything open?
It looked abandoned.
No, they were open.
Yeah.
You could have gone into any bar at, say, 5 o'clock on.
Listen, here's the thing that we found on... Okay, then, explain Saturday. Saturday, when you guys were going to the mud bath...
Right.
At the Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon. I give you plenty of time here, I promise.
Very good.
While you were doing that...
It was wonderful.
Rob and I went out to explore this exciting city, the city of Iceland.
Pulsing.
Absolutely.
And
what better way to get a feel for the entire country of Iceland than within a 4-square block area around the hotel?
Mike, we walked 120 blocks.
Hours we spent out there.
No, no, no. We walked.
Hey, that's, you remember that.
Yeah. We walked about an hour.
And I did walk 120 blocks.
Okay.
What? You don't believe me?
I'd pay you $1,000 if you could walk 120 blocks.
120 blocks. The day after 9/11, I walked 120 city blocks. I walked down from, do the math. All right. Oh, the crazy.
So, listen. We were walking around for about an hour. We couldn't find anything that was open.
We found the video store.
We found the video store that sells European DVDs.
I never knew you thought I was lying about that.
I'll tell you the God's honest truth.
Secrets come out. That must be one of the little things you two giggle about.
No, you can ask my wife. That's not a Rob thing. That's a thing with me and Frida.
Right.
That I mentioned to Frida, I don't think you walked 120 blocks, but I think that night that you were upset about 9/11 and that you had stopped and a little bit.
Oh, no, a lot of it.
And I think that maybe a 30-block walk in your mind turned into 120 blocks.
Well, I went down to the site, which is, and do the math from where we were, which was about 60th Street.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is, 120. You
50, 57th, 58th.
I'd like to see it.
Right. All right. I do 3.5 miles walking on the treadmill without any problem.
How about after the show?
It's walking. It's not running.
How about after the show?
Do a 3.5 mile walk?
I'm kidding. I'm busting your balls.
Okay, well, I'm busting.
You've been busting my balls the whole show just because I'm friends with Rob.
I know.
So anyway, when we went out, I just want to say this about... Now, here's why I spend time with Rob. Because
you love him.
No, because the things that Rob and I laugh at...
Are dark and evil and should be unsaid.
Things that you would not laugh at. For instance,
that, right.
We could walk around, and we did walk around for an hour, just looking at signs.
Names.
Names of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to the average person, this would not be funny.
You're right.
But we would look and go, Hans Voltedeck. I wonder what kind of business this is.
Right. I understand.
And
Klaus Berdinson sells drums. Look at the drums in Klaus's window.
And we found cars.
Yeah.
And we would stop and look at cars and go, look at this crappy Ford. What do you think this car is like?
And I do know how far you guys did walk, and you did almost make it into the downtown area, which is a pretty good haul. And
anyway, we didn't see anything. It was like Wichita, walking around Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And while Rob and I were out doing this, you guys went to the Brown Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon.
God!
The Brown Lagoon, based on the famous movie with Brooke Shields.
Am I talking about the Blue Lagoon now?
Yes.
The Blue Lagoon was fantastic. Here was the deal. On the itinerary, which I did not receive, and I didn't even look at it when we have it in the little folder.
But you did receive it at the airport.
I did receive it at the airport. I didn't know there was stuff in there. They said it's supposed to be about a four-hour trip. Is that right? A four-hour trip to the Blue Lagoon?
This was another big argument that happened. Mike was mad that he didn't get the itinerary that Lisa had emailed to everybody.
Yeah, and I was giving Lisa a pretty hard time about that.
And as it turns out, when we arrived at the airport...
I think I've given just about everybody a hard time on the trip. Is it any wonder I've been married twice?
When we got to the airport, Mike was still bitching about the fact that everybody had the itinerary.
True.
Except him.
True. Who didn't get forwarded the email? Let's start a new plan. We'll not send Mike anything.
But when you got to the airport...
Lucky I made it to the airport on time. Lucky I got to work that day.
When you got to the airport, the ladies at Iceland Air gave you that packet that had the very same itinerary in it.
I thought it was just a folder with pictures. That's just me. I didn't know there was an itinerary in it.
Mike doesn't read.
I do read the picture book.
Yes.
So anyway, you guys figure out it's time to go to the Brown Lagoon.
We were, once I found out it was just a half an hour, in fact, my buddy Schultz on the way from the airport had pointed to the thermal springs that were coming out of the ground, and you see the steam coming into the beautiful, clear Iceland air, and it looked like... It was much closer than originally. I thought it was like a two-hour drive originally, and I didn't want to have to deal with that. I don't like to drive long distances to go to places. And I said, if it's only a half an hour from Reykjavik.
5 hours in the car yesterday.
And I said, let's go. Let's do it. And so we trundle off. It is myself, it's Michelle, Buzz, Charlie, and Lisa, and Magnus from Iceland Air. And we go to this thing. And now listen, if you're going to have somebody help you out with this, it's fantastic. And Magnus couldn't have been nicer as far as getting us all set up with, you know, the robes and towels, because I said...
And you call me gay.
I said originally, is this something you go look at? And they said, no, this is not something you just look at.
You get naked.
No, you don't get naked. I got naked briefly when I was in the lagoon.
Okay, see, I know. You got naked.
Swimsuits. We all get into our swimsuits, and we wash our genitals like you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
and we get ready to go.
Tell them about the sign.
There's a sign in there that says, wash yourself. And it's not just saying wash yourself, but it's a sign that's got a diagram, and it's got this outline of a naked body. Mm-hmm. And then they got the soap suds under the arms, on the crotch, and you
feet
know,
and hair.
And feet and hair.
Right.
Like those are the areas you need to scrub.
What about the ass?
It was a frontal shot.
Okay.
So
goes without saying.
It's implied.
So we get to the Blue Lagoon, we all get into our suits, and we have these big robes that you put on, and then you walk down to this thermal spring that is blue, and I'm not sure why it's blue. Magnus, why is it blue? Can you say why it's blue?
Food coloring.
Because of the silica, it's blue.
The silica?
And it's fantastic.
Toyota silica.
And Buzz was there. Was it not the greatest?
It was beautiful. It was warm, and the mineral bath was great. It was fantastic.
And
you're there with the oogies, that dead skin that's fallen off.
No.
The people that have been
the
in
the water
there
recycles
you.
Every half an hour.
And the proof of that is that you saw a sign?
We saw three pumps, for one thing.
There are three pumps that recirculate the water. They were drilling, because this is all... Iceland is heated, and their energy is derived from these thermal springs, the thermal water, superheated hot water.
It's from lava.
It's from lava. This is a volcanic island, and it was just wonderful.
Do you know, while you guys were there, the whole time you were at this Blue Lagoon thing, Rob and I briefly met for a bite to eat, and then, you know, retired, said, listen, we should probably take a nap.
Right.
Together.
Fuck you. Before it's time.
We spent, you keep setting yourself up when you talk like
but
that.
But we spent a lot of time...
Spooning.
We spent a lot of time toasting ourselves as to how smart we were.
Oh.
That we didn't go on this trip that, you know, boy, these guys are going to be absolutely just out of their mind, tired.
Well, let me share something with you, Mr. Smarty Man.
Yes.
You were wrong, because the Blue Lagoon is... All I want to do is go back there.
Relaxing.
After being there, all I want to do is get back there, because it was that relaxing. And they have this stuff, this silica, this white goo, this mud stuff that you put on your face.
Number three.
And Charlie loved it. Charlie kept the goo on his face for the whole 3 hours that we were there.
It hardened.
And the whole reason this thing was laid out for 4 hours is because once you hop into the Blue Lagoon, the hot spring, and you feel that wonderful, warm, geothermal mineral water wrapping around your body, you want to stay in the thing for 4 hours. It was fantastic, and it was even better when we met the Eskimos.
So are you happy now, Magnus? Was that a freaking commercial? Are you happy?
But you know me.
That's a commercial.
Wait a minute, but you know me, and you know that if I'm lying, I'm dying, and I will tell you that was, I sound like Paul Popiel.
I know you do.
The Blue Lagoon,
you really laid
there.
It on heavy.
Well, because it was the best, one of the best things next to the drinking and looking at the women.
Yeah.
It's the best thing that I did here. We go in there, Charlie goes
better than
this,
watching Channel 2?
Scooby-Doo Channel, pretty good stuff. But at one point, and this is when I knew that Magnus was comfortable with me, when Magnus made his first fat joke about me, which involved a fat woman. And Magnus comes over to me and goes, hey, Mike, what do you think of the... It sounds a little bit like Timmy. He says...
Do like your Colin Farrell. That's closest.
He says... Why don't you look over there? There's a very nice lady that I think would be perfect for you. And I turn around like all excited, because I started to talk to Magnus about the chicks about 10 minutes after I met him.
Right.
I said, when are we going to meet the chicks? That comes up later in our little story too, and how incredibly let down I've felt on this whole trip. But he points and I turn around, so I'm excited, and I turn around, and then there is this woman who has the white goo caked on her face, who is, I would estimate, close to 500 pounds.
Wow.
And she is getting out of the thermal spring.
Nice.
And I say, jokingly, you know, I said, oh, I can get that. And so I swim over to her. I start swimming over to her. And it's only then when I hear her say, I think I lost my hotel room key. But I realized that this wonderful vision of cellulite beauty
is an American.
Is an American.
Yeah.
And I swam
just like you
in the other direction. And we're sitting there, and the nice thing about this this thermal spring is you're going along and you feel the hot spots and the cool spots and the hot spots and the cool spots.
That's where people have gone number one.
And it was then that I just felt, and we were all standing in one of the deeper areas of the pool, that I needed to take my shorts off, which I did, and I took my red shorts off.
And you call me gay.
And I held them above my head, and then I realized, because I'm a man of larger carriage, when you're trying to get your shorts back on underwater,
now, did you
there's
have
a lot of material to find where to put the leg hole.
Mike, did you have a bathing suit, or were you wearing just like...
I had a thong. No, I was wearing shorts. I was wearing a bathing suit that I brought with me.
Okay.
A red Target bathing suit.
Flowers down the side?
No, actually a solid red.
Oh, because mine
is Massimo.
Flowers.
Is it Massimo? Is that the name of the
Massimo? So you're calling me gay, but let me just get this straight.
I took my pants off in the Blue Lagoon, yeah.
With other people.
I wanted the
you
water.
You were in a tub with other men, and
yes.
You took your pants off.
Men and women.
But there were men there.
Beautiful women.
But you just described a 500-pound woman.
She was the American. I'm talking about the Icelandic woman.
But there were men in this tub.
And there were Eskimos.
But now I want to hear about the Eskimos. Because we got a break, but let's do the Eskimos before we break.
Okay. We go into, in the Blue Lagoon, there. It's a huge, wide-open thing, and there's one area of it that is a cave where you can sit, and they have benches surrounding the cave. We moved our way past this little waterfall where you rinse the silica out of your hair and into the cave, and we sat down in the cave, and all of a sudden we are all in the cave, and there was this one very attractive Icelandic woman who I didn't have the courage to speak to yet, and I haven't been that courageous approaching the Icelandics, the younger Icelandic women, and well,
she had no problem with the older women, I hear.
Actually, there was a very nice older woman. That's another part of the story.
Oh, let's get to the Eskimos.
So we're in the cave, and suddenly these people that appeared to be Eskimos come into the cave with us, and we're all sitting in a circle. And it was at that point.
Do they have an Eskimos look about
them? Yes, yes, very much so.
When
I was in high school, I studied Eskimo, the Netsilik Eskimo tribes, and so they appeared to be Eskimos, and then some people that appeared to be from Iceland, some guys. Well, how many people? There are 20 of us, probably 20, 25 of us in this cave, and I said, we should all get each other's names. Well, Lisa seizes upon this and decides that she's going to be the cruise director. And I forgot what you said. Exactly.
I said, well, let's all go around the room and say our names and where we're from.
And
I'll start.
And
my name is Lisa. I'm from Virginia.
This is
while
you're in the big bathtub, right? Mm-hmm.
This is in the big bathtub in the cave, this underwater cave.
Rob, I'm so glad we didn't go to this.
And it was fantastic. And as we go in, and these people all started identifying themselves from Greenland. Now, if you know anything about Iceland, Iceland is green, Greenland is icy. Greenland is practically uninhabitable, and these people like fish for seals on a little 2-square-mile area of Greenland, and they've come down because they want to have a little break in the warm geothermal spa that is the Blue Lagoon. Mm-hmm. So we get introduced to all these Greenland people, and I'm cracking up. It's fantastic. And then we get around past the Greenland people, and these four guys are sitting there, and the one guy says, my name is Vudavudifu, and I'm from Fair Island. And Lisa says very loudly, Fair Island, where's that? And they go, hey, but she should know. And then they explained it's an island off the coast of Iceland. And then and they got to me, and when they got to me, they said, my name is Mike. I'm from Washington, D.C., capital of the United States of America.
Mike O'Mara, proud American.
I was a proud American. Very exciting. But we got back off. We put more of the goo on our face. We all took a little shower in the little geothermal spa.
In the gay men's.
It was so... Well, there were men and women there. There were men and women. It was wonderful. And we could not have enjoyed ourselves more. If you come to Iceland, if you do one thing, this is what was told to me. You got to do this. We had a great time, and then we washed our genitals.
We had a break.
Again. Got back into our robes.
We got
and,
a break.
Went back to find where Don and Rob were.
we were here. Glad that we weren't with you.
Well, that's what
I mean, not you personally, but all of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, going to the we referred to it more than one time as think about them right now in that fecal soup.
Yeah, wrong. No. Wrong. It regenerates every half an hour. You'll love it. You've got to try it. You know, maybe if it was just the two of you going out.
If it was just the two of us in the cave,
you'd probably enjoy it. You know, you just get, you could mock people.
Tell me more about the genital washing.
We're up on a break. We're live in Iceland, and we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Arch, the boy was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
So?
There's only two kinds of guys who wear those shirts. Gay guys and big fat party animals. And Bart doesn't look like a big fat party animal to me.
So if you wore a Hawaiian shirt, it wouldn't be gay.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show. They have more than enough hair down there. Don and Mike.
The light outside. We're in Iceland.
Unbelievable, but true.
Beautiful Iceland. Thank you, Iceland, there, for bringing us over here. Now, we're going to go through this weekend and bring you up to present time. We have some tape coming up from the trip yesterday. that Mike wasn't on. I'm going to tell you why in a second here. After these guys went to the Brown place.
The Blue Lagoon.
The Brown Lagoon.
Nothing brown about it.
And,
Brown place.
Very blue. Rob and I walked around and, you know, toasted our good fortune of being so smart. We all met back in the lobby.
Cocktail.
Now, Rob and I, according to the itinerary, the schedule.
Cool beans.
The schedule. We were supposed to meet at 7 o'clock for cocktails and then go out to dinner.
Right.
Rob and I were down there wearing our smart casual, as indicated in the itinerary.
Yeah, dressed almost identically.
At 7, we were not. Sport jackets, Mike.
Sport jackets, right, and kilts.
So we're waiting. But he was wearing the Geronimo crest.
That's right.
I was wearing the Spiewak tartan.
We're waiting, and you guys weren't back yet.
Right.
And at this point, we started saying, oh, they are going to be so tired.
And we were indeed.
They are going to be so wiped out. But when you guys came in, you were tired, but everybody was in a good mood.
Yeah, we were. It was fantastic. We were all rejuvenated from the Blue Lagoon.
They went upstairs. They changed their clothes. They come down. We get in another one of these big buses with the gigantic tires on them for the terrain. And we go to a restaurant for dinner. Now, this is where it gets awkward because we've been in Iceland either with each other or with Magnus,
right,
our host. Well, Magnus has brought some of his Iceland friends.
Well, early in the afternoon, Magnus had said to me, he said, I'm assembling a rather good group of people. Now, he didn't elaborate any further than that. He simply said a good group of people. And I suddenly say, hey, rock and roll. Because I'm dropping hints the whole time that...
you want to get laid.
I want to not necessarily get laid as much as make contact with these Icelandic beauties.
Or what you told me on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I want someone to say the words to... Before I leave, don't worry, I'll pay for your airfare.
So, we get to this restaurant.
Hasn't happened yet.
And now, listen, there were two people that were crappy at the beginning of the night, and I'll fess up to being one of them. Charlie was in the worst mood I've ever seen him in Saturday night. He was overtired. He had big raccoon bags under his eyes.
Right.
He's pussy-whipped because he had gone to the Blue Lagoon with you guys.
Right.
And then he had to go out to dinner with everybody. And when we were waiting to go to dinner...
Incidentally, if you want to take a survey of the Blue Lagoon people, I think everybody would give it an enthusiastic thumbs up. It's not just me, you know. Everybody loved it.
Okay.
Including Charlie, who probably liked it more than anybody else.
Okay. Listen, more power to you.
There you go.
Just don't talk to me when you break out in a rash when we get back home.
My skin has never felt better. Or looked better.
True.
When we are ready to go to this thing, we're all sitting at a table waiting for the bus, and Charlie's sitting at a table by himself, like not with his fiancée or anything.
He is, everybody is around this very small table surrounding it. Charlie's off in the corner, just staring at everybody.
Now, when we got to the restaurant, the chef came out, and now Magnus introduced us to...
I like the one you came up with, that Magnum is perfect.
He introduced us to his friends. Now, this was awkward. We weren't ready to meet strangers. And the chef, rather than bring us just a plate of food, had this thing that was going to be a tasting dinner.
A tasting menu, which got me very excited.
And got me very pissed. Because, listen, I'm on this stupid diet.
Yeah, right? Now see, and when you mentioned that, I completely understood where you were coming
Here's
from, because you're eating very, very well.
I eat these powdered shakes, like, every 3 hours, and thank God, they got them here in the hotel, the EAS stuff. So I've been good on my diet, and when I'm ready to have dinner...
You want to chow down.
I was ready to have dinner. Well, they bring over... The first thing they brought was a little, like, spring roll with duck in it, except it was a spring roll that had been cut into quarters.
Nice.
So you had, like, a quarter of a spring roll. The guy, and it's put on a plate with a bunch of fancy goo.
It was tasty.
Yeah, I said to the guy when he put it on my plate, I'll take about 50 more. And I wasn't kidding.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and it was a tasting menu, and I knew because that is your meal. That is the one meal of the day where you're allowing yourself to have fun.
And I got pissed because it was a half hour between them bringing a plate that had a bunch of squiggly ketchup on it and, like, one bite of food.
Homemade ketchup.
Yeah, homemade ketchup.
It worked well for me because during the time in between each little food morsel would be brought out. They were just pouring some kick-ass wine.
Wonderful wine, really good.
Now we had a couple of moments, and I'll admit to being in a bad mood because the food wasn't coming.
I thought you were okay until the very end of the evening. I thought you were doing okay. I didn't realize you were dealing with that with the food.
Well, Charlie and I also got real mad at one point at one of those dudes, the guy who looked like the white Damon Wayans.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. A mighty wind.
He started saying something about football. And he said, of course, it's nothing like your American football, and you guys really shouldn't even call it football, because what you play isn't really football. And I just looked at Charlie. I was sitting right next to Charlie, and he looked at me, and it was like a race to see who was going to jump over the table and punch this guy in the face first.
The way I recall it, they spoke, you know, Charlie speaks seldom anyway, and certainly not that night. They said in unison, "We take our American football very seriously."
Yes, exactly.
And that sort of shut everything down.
So we shut him down. We had, I'm going to compress this so we can get to Mike's night on the town. We had a wonderful discussion with these guys, with these Iceland guys, about the C word. We must have had...
I don't think I've laughed harder than when Rob was wearing the earrings.
We had a one-hour discussion with these guys in between the first two that weren't entrees, the first two bites of food about the word, about the C word. Yeah. And the guy would say, "Oh, you mean C-U-N-T-L-E."
Yeah, and apparently there's a slight variation of it here in Iceland, but it carries the same weight.
Right. Yeah, it's...
I'm saying, man... You know, hey, please, you know, let's go. I mean, it's really, I enjoy meeting and chatting with your sausage factory of friends, with your helmet club over here, but I would like to go out and experience the world of Iceland. And what I meant, you know, in between the lines, please, can I, you know,
see some chicks,
get to a club to see these Icelandic hotties? And we eventually go to this club, and man, at this point, that's why you guys probably just missed it, because at this point, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're going out, and it is absolute peak prime time. Things are just starting to warm up. There is a line almost around the block outside this one club we're going to.
So what time did you... Well, first, listen...
So we go into the club.
Two great parts of this.
Yes.
Is Mike leaving the club?
Right.
At what time?
But you mean when I left the last bar that
the
I was
The last
in
bar.
Was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And when you walked out?
A bright, brilliant, brilliant... Burning,
blazing,
Dracula-killing sunshine.
Wow.
Just, I mean, you know, you'd have in the States, stateside, you'd have the sun beginning to come up. It'd be kind of low in the sky. This is, like, brilliant. I opened the door. It was like, oh, my God. At this time, Buzz had left a little earlier than I had. I was in this cultural establishment chatting with this bartender till about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Now, is this what... Am I not allowed to say that?
No, you can say where we were.
That you were at
one of the last places we went.
An erotic club.
An erotic club, and it was.
Tiger.
It was like what we'd have in the States. It was a similar type of
club. Was it a strip club?
Yeah, basically,
gentlemen's club.
And
Christina from Prague.
What, Buzz?
What's that, Buzz?
Including Christina from Prague.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to meet her.
Yes,
really.
She's a Czech.
Oh, Czech, from the Czech Republic.
Yes.
What was she doing, Buzz?
Dancing, and doing a damn fine job of it.
So we had a fantastic time. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, I open the door, and it's so brilliantly sunny out that I almost take a step back, because it's
God,
shocking.
Where do you get the strength, incidentally, if for those of you keeping track, this is, for both Mike and Buzz, after the day in the Brown Lagoon.
Blue Lagoon.
This is from 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
to 6 a.m. These
right.
guys have been out
10 hours.
No, don't get me wrong. At about 6 o'clock in the morning, I was pretty tired.
Starting to get tired. Yeah.
I was a little tired, but where do I get the strength?
Booze. That's a new personal best, Mike.
People think booze like makes you sleepy. No, it actually it keeps you going. It keeps you, you know, you're getting all. But I was actually, for about the last 2 hours, I was drinking Diet Coke at the last.
Now, what about you, Buzz? When you split up from Mike? And you arrived at the hotel even later than Mike.
That's what I don't understand, and that's the mystery time that we have to ask Buzz about. I don't get that. I haven't been able to figure that out.
I left first, but I only got back to the hotel about a half an hour before Mike
did.
He did explain, and
it does make sense. When I left, the bars were starting to open up. They were starting to close, and hundreds. I mean, you know, it's funny because you guys say there's nothing going on. Hundreds of people spill out onto the streets.
At 6 a.m.?
At 6 a.m.
Literally spill.
There are hundreds of people pouring out onto the streets.
Spewing.
Everybody is festive. Everybody is buzzed. And I'm starting to feel like, you know, we have been kind of pampered. We've been the pampered Americans. We've been surrounded by our good friend Magnus at Icelandic Air with his friends. Mm-hmm. But suddenly, I felt alone.
Hey, what about when that one dude made you feel like the ugly American?
Okay, so Adi, who is the Paul McCartney lookalike.
Right.
So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't know how I'm going to get back.
How many hours had it been since you had seen Adi?
The last I saw Adi was at the club, which would have been
four hours ago. Yeah, yeah.
But Adi and I, right, just so you know, Adi and I, right after you guys left, and we're hanging at the bar, Adi's giving me the fist on fist all
he
night long.
He was big on that.
Adi's like coming up behind me, and he's like kneeing me in the back of the knee, so my leg goes down, and Adi's my man. He's my buddy, and we're like hanging out, right? And I spill out onto the street at 6 o'clock in the morning, all these people being very festive. I'm getting that slight look of, you know, you're not from around here,
yeah.
Which is pretty obvious. You know that. And I'm trying to find my way to a cab. So I see this cab stand up the street, and I see what looks like to be a little bench in front of it. And then I see sitting on the bench next to two absolute gorgeous Icelandic babes is Adi. And I start, you know, staggering across the street.
Hi.
And I go at the top of my lungs, I go, Adi, my man, how you doing? And Adi looks at me like I am the last guy he wants to see. I don't know if it's that I'd had a little too much evening. I don't know if it's the ugly American, but suddenly I felt completely like, I am a foreigner and he doesn't want me around. At this point, Adi is sitting on the bench. The two Icelandic babes.
6 a.m., everybody, Sunday morning.
Icelandic babes get up and walk away. Adi gives me this kind of look that's like,
thanks, Mike.
Oh, you silly American pig. And Adi gets up. The only people talking to me, in fact, the only woman talking to me, is this 70-year-old Iceland woman who's just eaten a hot dog and has mustard on her chin.
Oh, poor you.
And she's going, and I'm sitting there going, you know, hey, and then they made a little joke, you know, about me. Oh, American. And the old lady says, oh, I'm not a prostitute. And they all laugh very vigorously. And then Adi kind of slinks away going, I don't know him. And I'm like, Adi, you hump. Where are you going, man? You're abandoning me. Then I head up the street to the cab line, which is, I'll tell you one thing, they don't drink and drive in Iceland. Everybody was in line because this cab line was 2 miles long to get a cab at the end of the evening.
At 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Not the end of the evening, the beginning of the morning.
So I'm in the line, and the line is like one of those Disney lines where it goes forwards, right. Backwards, forwards, backwards.
Exactly.
And coming down next to me is Adi again. And so he looks over at me and he gives me this kind of little half smile, and I just looked away.
Oh, for you.
Okay, wow. Your stinking American friend is going to take his own cab ride, Adi.
Where were you, Buzz?
I waited in the same cab stand line a little before Mike, and eventually got a cab and went back to the hotel.
Tell the truth, Buzz. The old woman that was talking to me, Buzz took her home.
Yeah.
Well,
and I didn't want to talk about that.
And that wasn't mustard.
Yeah. But it was, I'll tell you, this is, I mean, if you don't think these people know how to party, 6 o'clock, and I believe there were a great number of people that it looked to me were getting together, making plans to go to the after party that started at 6 o'clock in the morning.
All of this for the election of King Kong.
And you know what? If I had been invited, I would have
gone. You would have gone.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Now, keep in mind that what's planned for Sunday is a tour of the glaciers, where we're supposed to get another one of these buses and go up into the mountains and ride snowmobiles.
I'm not going if Adi's going.
And the last we had heard, Mike said, when Rob and I made our early departure on Saturday night, said, call me in the morning.
Just in case.
You know, and, you know.
30 minutes notice.
And let me know if you want to go, but let's see how I'm feeling.
And like clockwork, my phone rang at 10:30 in the morning, and Rob was greeted with, have a good time.
Have fun.
Have fun on your party. I won't be attending.
Yeah, and you said you couldn't do the Lucy voice anymore.
Hi there.
Short
hello, Don.
There you go. And also, we got a break.
I will not be coming with you.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good time.
We had a buzz moment, too. And then while these guys were all sleeping it off, the rest of us were stuck with this guy. And we got tape to prove this dude that drove us. This driver that took us up to the mountains
yesterday.
Thank God
you don't have tape to prove where I was.
And, you know, there is the one person who falls in the middle is Michelle Combs-Manty, who slept it off at the Glacier, which I thought was very nice.
Yeah, made the man was she hung over yesterday.
And you know, my favorite exercise is when somebody asks about what our show is like, I kick it over to Michelle. And you want to talk about a task. Michelle, what is our show about and what is it like? And she has this look on her face, what have you done to me?
I think today is the first time she's ever really heard the show.
Yeah, I believe so.
Because she's in the room with us right now while we're doing it.
Yeah, busy out there, busy out selling all the time.
And also another very interesting dynamic that no one's brought up, and I'll bring it up because we have to go to break. Her husband's not here.
Yeah, we were commenting on that, and... Well, all is not right in the Michelle household.
I'm sorry. And for those of us who were in the truck yesterday driving in the mountains, the guy nearly drove off the road four or five times because he was staring at Michelle's boobs. And at one point, Michelle just said, I should have worn a sports bra. Yeah, I guess so if you're going to be driving over rocks all day.
Right.
We got a break? Yeah, and we will be right back from Ice.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
The Don and Mike Show. Putting the fun back in dysfunctional. The Don and Mike Show.
Back in Iceland, live in Iceland, thanks to Iceland Air. We're just recapping everything that we've done. Thus far, we figured this would be more interesting than sitting down in the lobby and talking to the people of Iceland.
Unfortunately, it would be lovely to speak with the native Icelanders, but we have so much to tell you about.
Yeah.
Because so much has gone on this trip, more than any other trip we've ever taken.
In the last 2 days. So when we left you, Mike and Buzz had been out all night.
Yes, I staggered back into my hotel at approximately 6:30 a.m. Iceland time. Oh, what a morning.
Now, we're going to leave to go to the glacier at 11. And again, I don't want to do it, but I'm afraid that I'm going to get the rap that I went to Iceland and all I did was stay in my hotel room and go to the shopping mall.
Exactly.
So I say, okay, I'm going to go on this glacier trip.
Right.
Now, on the itinerary, it says leave at 11 a.m., arrive back at 6 p.m. Well, I'm not a smart guy, but I do the math. That's 7 hours.
Right.
And I think there's no way I'm spending 7 hours doing anything. So I say to the dude right away, and we find out that Mike's not going to make it. We call upstairs. Charlie and Lisa have had too much night.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make it.
Right.
And Rob called Buzz, right?
Right, I called Buzz.
Departure time.
And what was fantastic is I assumed he'd be up because he was really up for this trip.
Yeah.
So I, you know, half-heartedly joking, said, Mr. Elston, and I don't know what you did the night before, but you said, yes?
Terrified.
Yeah,
terrified.
Like
I was terrified. You know, who knew that Buzz was going to come in later than Mike?
Unbelievable.
I thought it was the police.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like he was going to have to produce papers. I said, Buzz, it's Rob.
Rolling papers.
I didn't mean to alarm you. Are you going on the glacier trip? He said, what time is it? And I said, it's a little after 11. He said, no, no.
So we're waiting a couple more minutes. We end up leaving at 11, and the driver, Jan.
Jan.
Is that his name?
Yeah,
is
I wrote his...
John or Jan?
I wrote his full name down here somewhere. It was a great name.
Anyway, he's mad because we've not left yet.
Jan Porborn Jornsen.
So Jan is mad that we haven't left yet.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes after 11, we're leaving, and as we're walking out, lady says... She stops me on the way out. She says, do you know a man named Buzz? That's the lady who works at the hotel. I said, sure. She said, he's on the telephone. I said, Rob, didn't you call Buzz?
I thought I did.
And so I go back, I go to the front desk, and I go, hello? He goes, hi. I said, hi, Buzz. He says, are you going now? I said, yeah, we're going on this 7-hour glacier trip that I'm going to get cut in half. What time is it?
I'm panicking.
Again, what time is it?
And are you showered and dressed at this point?
Oh, no way. I still have last night on me, and
right.
I'm panicked because I really wanted to go.
He said, what time is it? You know, knowing that Rob has called him already like a half hour, it's 11:15. can you wait? I said, no, the driver's already pissed. We got to go. So we get in the car, and this guy, now he turned out to be a pretty nice guy.
I really liked him, yeah.
But at first, he was very upset with the notion that I didn't want to spend 7 hours
right.
going to the glaciers, and it was just too much. I said, we have to compromise. We have to be back by 4 o'clock.
Right.
That way we're only gone for 5 hours.
Because you had a meeting.
And yeah, well, that's what I told him. And
a meeting with your pillow.
And at first he said, well, now that won't do. He said, you have to go on the snow machines.
Scooters.
The snow scooters. You have to go on the snow scooters. No, we'll be back at 4:30. 5 o'clock. I said, no, we got to be back at 4 o'clock. Okay, you're going to miss the snow scooters. But that's all right. You know, we're cool with that.
Right.
And at the beginning, I had a bad attitude because I don't like going on these touristy things.
Right.
And I know that you think I got this big homo friendship thing with Rob.
Right.
I turned to Rob, who was sitting behind me, and I said, I hope you realize the only reason I'm on this trip is because you're here.
There you go.
At this time, I'm thinking, I hope Kerry saves the classifieds from Sunday, because if this goes badly, this is going to be very bad.
But as it turns out, we did see a lot of great scenery, even stuff that a dork like me likes. And we have tape. Rob had his videotape. And you're going to get to hear a little bit about Jan, our driver.
Jan.
And then I asked him if he gets laid a lot. We asked him which country has better sex. And then we asked him about gays. And that's when the guy really went into overdrive. So we're going to work on the quality on this. Robbie, why don't you roll it now?
Start up the intro.
And this is us when we are in the van getting ready to go on this.
Daddy, I'll break your arm.
Hi. Hi there. How are you? We're here in the town of Leichen. It really is. Election was yesterday.
Now, you're not going to be able to hear Rob and I really well because the condenser mic is pointed at the driver.
Right.
And it was an outstanding competition, vitamin-wise.
We're doing our whole vitamin thing. The vitamin and Kong.
King.
Kingfish.
Very, very good. And I like to say hi to Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Oh, let's get past this. This is where we're saying hi to the people who weren't there. Go to 650.
650?
Because you're going to find out a little bit about Jan, our driver.
Very good.
And this is where the microphone, I believe. Now, Rob, you've heard this, right?
It sounds a little better than that, yeah.
You can hear just Jan.
Now, it gets different when you're out of the van, too, right?
Yeah.
Most of the stuff you're going to like is in the van, though. Because that's when he was the most open.
And this is where our engineer, Mike Friedman, was working the tape recorder. And we asked Jan's permission. He thought he was giving us like a travelogue, but
right.
we really wanted stuff we could goof on him.
Okay.
All right, so here he is, a little bit about our driver, Jan.
So tell us a little about you.
Yeah, the same I was just telling Michelle. I'm actually educated as an automotive engineer in Germany.
That's terrific. I love Germany.
We love Germany.
Okay.
We love Germany.
We hold no grudges.
So you don't think so much of the freedom fries. You would call it still something like French fries.
No, we hate the French.
Yes, we do hate the French. That's a grudge we hold.
We hate the French, but we've forgiven the Germans.
Why? But how come?
We hate the French, but we forgive the Germans.
The French,
it's different.
Well, the French bent over for Hitler.
And then there was the whole issue with the U.S.
See, now Rob and I are getting into the whole thing about, you know,
right.
why we hate the French.
But at least I started the...
But they really didn't fight against Hitler. They kind of just said, go ahead, take over our country.
Okay.
I mean, if you have other history...
Yeah, pause it for a second, and let me just explain this. I'm saying to the guy, for some reason I'm saying to him, It's history that the French kind of just said, come on in and take over our country.
Yeah, why did it take the Germans 3 days to get to Paris? Because it was raining.
And he said, well, no, he's saying that, and he's German. Originally he's German. He's saying, no, the Paris resistance, the underground, put up a good fight. And I said to the guy, oh, I know of someone who was in that resistance. His name was Corporal LeBeau. And I don't know if the tape picks us up. He says, LeBeau? And I said, yes, it's in the history books.
He thought you were perhaps saying De Gaulle. And he
right.
said, no, I do believe the name was LeBeau.
So anyway, this will give you a taste of this guy who originally started being very boring with his
right.
travelogues
right.
and what we're forced to listen to. Go ahead, roll a little more of this. We'll get to the good part.
Oh, you know, there was a guy named LeBeau.
No.
De Gaulle?
No, LeBeau was his name. He did an awful lot in the underground, you're right.
But I never got a suntan. But Mullet Robot for 30 years, and I was around 1980 in Germany to 85, 86, studying automotive techniques, engineering, learning to construct automobiles by BMW, among other.
How are you feeling about this, Magnus? This is good. this is a good representation of your country? You can pick up that microphone, Magnum.
I think I'm laughing more than you are.
His bare skin has turned red.
For the investigation of cars in this annual inspection.
No, at this point, I'm ready to kill the guy. Because you can hear this. It's just the...
I really thought it was going badly at this point.
Since we established this company, Isafol Travel, Isafol and that means Iceland, actually, falls like field.
Shut up.
Isa, that means
celebrity he most resembles? No less. Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Wow.
Did look like Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I saw
him. Do you like it?
A lot.
There are two things, actually, that are essential for me, that are very, very important here by this trade. This is everlasting change and variety you get through always.
Now I'm wanting to just say, shut up, douche.
That's the
Rob, let's go to Do You Get Laid a Lot? Because this is where he starts to turn.
Okay.
And this is 942. And this is where I start to like this dude. Because now he's going to talk about getting laid. He's going to find out that Michelle has... hi, Michelle. Big jugs.
Do you get laid a lot in this job? Do you get sex? Do you ever?
I would turn it otherwise around. Do I lay many then in this job?
Yeah.
Right. You see.
Yeah,
well,
good.
I see. But this is not the... Actually, that's not the goal of my job.
That's not what Michelle says.
This is... I'm, like some people say, happily married and don't mean anything by it. But I really have a very, very nice and nice-looking and wonderful wife. She's actually enough for me.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I don't mean...
So he likes his wife.
And, I hope I don't lose business because of that.
You know, Michelle would have sex with you if you would break the speed limit.
Speed turns her on.
You think that's something what she goes for? I mean, the speed limit.
I had been talking to him earlier saying, what's the speed limit? He said, like, it's 70 kilometers.
Right.
You break the speed limit? He said, oh, no. You know, no one breaks the speed limit.
I was, before I went to Germany, I was in the cargo fleet sailing to America.
Here we go.
And to the East Coast, bringing frozen fish over there, and Cheerios and cereals back.
Cheerios.
Cheerios and cornflakes.
Cereal here, all the breakfast cereal is imported.
Imported all. A lot of it from America. Right. And I tell you, Don, then I have my share of women, I believe, or girls.
Now I'm interested.
You think? That's still a secret. Over 100 to my self.
He won't tell me how many.
No. Over 50? Don't go much further down, and then I start to think it over.
Nothing that a broad won't do for cornflakes.
I know you're happily married, so am I for 22 years, but I would answer this question if I had had sex with a woman of Iceland origin. What woman that is best to have sex with, an American or a woman from Iceland?
Because that comes on, or that it's just a matter how you see it, how you feel it. It's not the
And now, while he's giving me this answer, he's gazing over at Michelle's Golden Globes. Because his answer is basically, it all really depends on what you want and what you want to do.
Yeah. USA.
At that time, I don't know.
Rob, if we have time at the break, let's go to the gay stuff.
Okay, what's your number?
2004.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie, I got time for this, right?
Yeah, okay.
This is before you... We got so much that we're not going to get to it all.
Right.
I'm just going to give you the highlights.
You on the cliff, do we get?
Yeah, you're going to get that in the next break.
All right, good.
On the cliff. Like a Mission Impossible scene.
Death-defying. Wow. Toes over the cliff.
This. So by now on this trip, and we've been in this car with this guy in this four-wheel drive for almost 2 hours.
Right.
And he's won me over because we have discussed. Now, I'm not going to. Rob went to the time of writing down all this. You look like TV's Chuck Norris. Do you get laid a lot? The story about Cheerios. He talks about how he wouldn't have sex with Hillary Clinton. He talks about how the Iceland people get effed on their taxes. He mentions that his daughter wants to be a flight attendant, and I tell him that my son is studying to be mail steward. And that leads to. This is the highlight. Lots of homos over here and his gay experience in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Gloucester, wow.
Do you have a lot of homos over here? Is there a big gay?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
That's
terrific,
Ross. No, you don't.
Well, I guess they are most dead.
And they've been coming out of the cupboard, like you say.
Coming out of the cupboard.
Out of the closet, of course.
Coming out of the cupboard.
That's also good.
Is that good for business?
No. This doesn't affect me.
Coming out of the cupboard is my favorite.
There are some groups, former groups coming up here, probably lesbian groups. Traveling together, but I haven't had any.
Homo groups.
Would you drive a bunch of gay men?
Oh, yes, no problem. I had my experience in Boston, Massachusetts. That was tough, and since I got out of that, then I don't fear anything. So there was a lawyer, I met him at the bar.
Here he goes.
He invited me home, then I was pretty young and not thinking of those things. And he invited me home, telling that he was living in a 300-year-old, very nice house, that he was also out of New England. But invited me for a drink, and as a sailor, I was always going for a glass of whiskey, more than less. So we got home to him, and then he started to try to kiss me. I said I just started to ask him about why don't you go with the girls, rather?
Yeah.
I said I asked him just because I knew I had to. We could say defend myself, but not without getting scared. Or anything.
Right.
And then we got into a heavy discussion on it all. And that
turned. Listen to this.
He said, "Well, they are smelling so bad."
Women smell bad.
There you go.
I never forget that. Then I found out and I learned in the night that his fiance was leaving, that he was going with a policeman in town, and when I left the house, I just left quietly. And I got out without any problem.
There you go.
That was my experience. So, Dawn, I don't think I would be somehow scared transporting a lot full of homos.
Very nice.
Or whatever. I keep my course straight.
I keep my course straight, yeah.
And now all of this, we can stop it for a second. All of this, while we're driving past the most fabulous scenery in the world, and once he got going with this gay thing, sex and homos, it's like he totally turned off the travelogue.
Right.
Yeah. And in between staring at Michelle and looking in the back seat at me and Rob, we're really having a decent time with this guy.
He seemed like a great guy. He really did. Very cool.
He was, and he started off being a prick because he was mad about, you know, not going on the snow scooters.
Right, right.
We have to break, but when we come back, We've got some stuff where we gotta buy these cliffs.
I have a question for that when you're going to have that in your next segment. One of the things that everybody was telling me on this trip was the silence. Are you going to get a sense of that when you roll tape?
You know what? I was disappointed because there was a slight breeze, and you know, a condenser mic and
yeah, it picks it up, but it's supposed to be just eerily silent out
Eerily there. Silent on the glacier. You have to really experience it to understand.
And Freedom won't see this until I get home with the videotape.
Right.
But there was, you'll hear it when we're on these cliffs. They have a railing that you're supposed to stay behind. And, we got a break. Anyway, it was like Mission Impossible.
There you go.
Jumped out on the ledge.
Wow.
And then we got him to sing a couple songs for us.
Yeah, I was here for that.
Because he's the Iceland James Taylor, as he told us. Hey, Magnus, how you feel about this dude? Is he good?
I think he's very good, yeah. That accent just kills me. I know that I have an Icelandic accent, but man alive, Icelandic, a mixture of Icelandic, German, English, whatever else is there. Amazing.
More live from Iceland right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bob Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape sexual encounters. As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you'd call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
The Don and Mike Show. Camel Toe, Moose Knuckle, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
It's nutty. It's a nutty country.
It is a wet country.
City. This city of Iceland is great.
City, Iceland city.
That, it's nighttime and it's light outside. It's blazing sunlight outside.
Bright, searing Sundensen.
Sorndensen.
Listen, I want to get to the rest of this tape with this guy. I know we have, have you noticed that we've actually started bringing Buzz on the trips with us?
Mm-hmm.
That we actually have news and comedy?
Yeah,
thank
Buzz.
You.
There he is right
hi.
There.
Oh, hi, Buzz. Rob Buzz Burbank right over here.
I didn't see you at the glacier.
I'm here. I came along.
Nice to see you.
You missed him at the glacier. You know, and the thing
I'm so
Mike.
Sorry.
Mike's here, too.
The thing is, we got our balls busted, Rob and I did, so much for not going to the BM Bath with everybody.
Blue Lagoon.
And
Blue Lagoon.
And then you guys yesterday, all, I say Lisa, Charlie, Mike, Rob, you all bailed.
Just couldn't make it on time.
For this glacier thing. And I was not really wanting to go myself because, you know. I went because I know, no, not because of Rob. Well, yeah, okay, because of Rob. But also because I didn't want the rap of being the only guy, and I knew you guys would be.
But you'd do anything?
Yeah, merciless on me.
Well, you went to dinner. I'm proud of you.
You'd be the only guy that went to Iceland and didn't go see the big country.
Very
which
proud.
To me, incidentally, Magnus is not here. And listen, Iceland's a beautiful place, and I highly recommend it. But
so go to Pennsylvania?
Go to West Virginia.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. West Virginia, maybe if you've ever been out to Utah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress enough that we are sitting here with the view
incredible.
Of the most incredible mountains, overlooking the sea,
the Atlantic.
Overlooking a beautiful town. It is nothing.
Mike. Ah, the sea.
Yes.
Well, the houses look like Ocean City, or if you go down to South Beach, they have that Caribbean look about them.
It's a beautiful roof. Country.
Multicolored roofs and
unbelievable construction, Mike, Scandinavian architecture.
Mike, color me guilty for being patriotic for saying anything you can find in any of these great cities like Iceland or Ireland, any of those cities that we've been to.
A city of Ireland.
You can find the same. In the good old USA. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to the city of Ireland. I've loved that. I've had a really phenomenal time.
Or Iceland.
Yeah, the city of what is
I'm
Ireland?
Trying to combine everything, and I'm wondering if you can sit in a cafe enjoying like fine international cuisine, overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
No.
In 70-degree weather as you look at a glacier.
Yeah, snow-covered
mountains. I'm not sure. Snow-covered mountains are different. I'm talking about a glacier.
To answer that, the first part is no, that I'm going to be eating at an American restaurant today because I want real-sized portions and I'm tired of fish. I don't care that this is the fish capital of the goddamn world. I want to get a steak today.
You know, as soon as Magnus left, you've turned into an ugly American. You know that, don't
well,
you?
Hey, listen, hello. I am the ugly American.
But you like it here, don't you?
Yeah.
I like it. Sure, I like it.
I think it's great. It's a great country. Of course I like it. I'm just saying.
It's a great city.
It's a beautiful city, Iceland.
Beautiful town.
It's real nice. And the people, with the exception of the people that were rude to Mike, are very, very
Oddie.
Nice. With the exception of Oddie, they're all very, very nice people. But
be my friend some of the time. Don't be my friend all of the time.
You know,
I see through your mysterious plot, Adi.
I'm looking out the window, and you could say, you know, you could clunk me on the head and say, "Hey, good morning. We flew you to Salt Lake City last night. And you didn't know it." I go, "Oh, I love Utah. It's beautiful, dude." So we're out at these glacier falls, the lava falls yesterday, and this is where even I had to let down my guard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That it was, but although even though the comparison I came up with, they said it's like being at Busch Gardens, except it's real. Because
the water was a surreal color. It looked like chlorinated water. It was so clear and so blue.
And we were standing by these incredible waterfalls, and it looked like the kind that you would ride a water raft ride in at Wild World or something like that. And they had an area where you could go walk by and overlook these incredible falls. It was like an 80-foot drop down to the falls, and you could see the water. It was 6 feet deep with big rocks, and they had a ledge that you could stand out on, a little porch. And directly to the left of that ledge was an actual little edge where you, if you wanted to.
A dangerous cliff?
Yeah, if you're dumb like me, you could actually walk out by the dangerous cliff and actually,
like, walk beyond the fence where the tourists are supposed to stay. That's when people die.
Yeah, well, and
the security there is very different. This would never work in the States because to keep you away from the cliff, there's rope. Simply rope.
I agree, Lisa. Were they brown waterfalls?
No.
You were saying the water was so blue.
It was very blue.
I hear it was brown.
Covered
with poo.
That's because this is not water that people have been bathing in and allegedly recycled every 30 minutes. This was really God's water. Okay, this is water that came straight from God. Incidentally, God's BMs are blue.
I didn't know that.
God,
so it was a beautiful
water.
I go with the Blue Lagoon any day of the week.
Yeah. Well, you would have liked this yesterday.
I probably would have liked
it. You would have liked it more than me, I guarantee it.
Now, you had to physically go over the fence to get to the area you went
around
to?
Around the fence. Listen, it was perfect. Any of you kids, I got the great spin for coming to the city of Iceland. If you want to be on the TV show Jackass, come to Iceland.
Oh, dear.
Because you can stand on cliffs, dude, and you can jump. You know, good luck hitting the water.
Right.
But if you make it to the water, I guarantee
you. So if you don't die, you actually could be on the TV show.
Right. Cool. And there were these trees and these branches that were coming out from the side of the mountain. And
just like a roadrunner.
What I wanted to do was actually climb out on the side of the mountain and hold on to one of these branches. And Rob talked me out of it. Rob said,
"Thank you, Rob." He was seriously thinking about it, though.
I said, "Wouldn't this be a great shot for video?" And Rob said,
"Now, what if you had decided to do that and the branch had pulled out?"
Well, that's why I have Rob with me.
Would you be dead?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And wet and gone.
We were 80 feet above.
You're gone.
80 feet above the water. And I said, if I held onto that branch, that'd be a great shot. And he said, if you did that and that branch fell, you'd die.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then what I ended up doing was going to a slightly safer area.
Right.
Where I'm still standing with my heels facing, I'm backed up to the edge of the cliff. And I'm holding on to a rock on either side.
When we play that video, when we play that audio tape, can I look at the video while you're doing
that? Come on over.
On over here, Mike, and let's show the tape now. And I believe I had a message for Frida, right?
Yeah.
Look, Frida, I'm being safe. And Frida will see this tape when we get home, where I'm standing on the edge of a cliff with nothing holding on to me. And,
oh, my God.
And the rocks around me are starting to give away, and I actually take one of them and throw them 80 feet down to the water.
You know, those crumble and break off sometimes.
Oh, well, I know.
You're lucky to be alive.
They did.
Here we go.
It was a great moment. Now, can I see the tape too, Robbie? Can you?
We'll have to run it. You have to run it.
Careful, danger boy, what are you doing?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
There I am.
You got to get rid of Gandhi.
I will.
I promise. I'm being very, very.
What was that?
It was a rock. That was part of the rock I'm holding on to.
Oh, my God.
Get a picture of it,
Mike? See that? See how close I am?
Fantastic.
My God. If you landed in that water, you'd be dead. Oh, it'd tear you apart, and there's jagged rocks just under the water. The water is only about 6 feet
deep. There's Jan.
Yeah. for Bjorn Sørensen.
Minerals in it?
I think there's some more Danger Boy in just a second. Hold on.
There's young Bjorn Gunnarsson.
Is this what you taped when I was not aware you were taping?
Yeah, and you were just sort of scooting down. You can see the ridges.
Right. I want to say that for...
Oh, there he is.
Close to the edge.
Rob, why are your pants around your ankles?
Oh, God, stop it.
The water will just wear away.
Now I can't see this. What are you guys looking at?
Donna's just sitting there. This is just you pensively contemplating the... looks like you're enjoying the view.
I am.
And you're going around the fence. You can see it there.
You can see Donna.
Prowling around.
There he goes, like, in direct violation of where he should be. There he is, like, 10 feet inside the fence line.
Oh, I got him closer.
Walking up to the edge.
Closer.
This is more dangerous, but Jesus, this would have driven me nuts if I was there.
And I didn't know Rob. I did not know Rob was taping this.
Now he sat on the edge. Now there's a great shot of the falls. It really looks like it's rushing down.
And I am
is
really
the angle really dramatic?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh my
it's
God.
A steep, steep angle, and I'm sitting on the edge of a rock. Think of Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible when he's hanging on the edge of that rock.
And as blue can be.
And also, you've already proven to us that these rocks crumble. They're not like granite. They're lava.
Had you no fear?
And
it was just, great. It was very serene.
It's Death Wish Boy.
Wow. Anyway, I found it to be very serene.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Sure.
That I scooted down to this area where I was by myself, and then when Rob started yelling at me, what are you doing? I said, I finally found a place that I like. Sitting right on the very edge of this cliff, wow, looking at the water.
And we ended there with a very nice moment, and it doesn't pick up because of the sound of the rushing water, is we yelled across the falls to some tourists, oh, hello! And they waved, and Don screamed, wave at us if you're gay.
So we get back. Let's go to 12:13.
12:13? Okay.
Because part of the thing with this guy, Jan, our driver, uh-huh, was that he said if we had had time for the entire tour, if we had gone on the snow, what do you call them?
Scooters.
Snow scooters.
The snow scooters.
That when we stopped to have the egg sandwiches that he brought for lunch.
Mm. How were they? You've made reference to those a couple of times.
Let me just say,
eggy.
I didn't eat it. I didn't eat. I had an apple.
Probably. They were good.
You liked it?
There was like a honey mustard and sliced egg and lettuce.
So what his plan was, he had a big guitar case. He was telling us the whole way up that he is the Iceland version of James Taylor.
Hmm. Has he recorded?
No.
He said,
sadly.
He said, what I will do is we will have our sandwiches, and you will have your lunch and your beverages, and then I will sing for you.
Right.
And I am like the James Taylor of Iceland.
Well, I managed when you guys got back to the hotel, I was staggering off the elevator and happened to, at that very moment, bump into Rob and who else was there?
Don't you even remember Michelle and Mike?
And Mike and this guy Jan and Rob, and you know, even in you know the fact that I hadn't been with him all day, Rob said, he's going to sing for us up in the lounge. And I went, oh.
Hey, Michelle, great. Before we hear him, come over here for a second. Now, Michelle was out with you guys the night before.
And right. She was in a bad way. We didn't even talk about...
She wins the award for posting listen, in the worst condition.
You have to know that when he drove us in these glaciers, that we drove... So you want to talk about off-road.
Right.
I told Rob that my SUV would have fallen apart. Any American SUV would have fallen apart where we were driving rocks.
We didn't comment on the SUVs here, and we should because it's something significant. You see the way the SUVs are tricked out here.
Yeah.
They have tires.
Gigantic tires.
That I've never seen in the States. I'd love to get me
massive.
Some of them.
We had, it was a regular Ford Econoline van, like a 10-passenger van. Three times when we were in the glacier, he hit a bump big enough that I hit my head on the ceiling.
Wow.
And keep in mind, that's a lot of pressure to throw that
we
much
were driving,
that high.
There was no road. Uh-huh. We were driving on rocks, and at one point, we got into this area by the glaciers, and the big sign that said, impassable. Even we could read that.
Right, right.
And he just went around it, and he said, I heard yesterday that it was okay.
How do they not blow the tires out on that kind
of terrain? He constantly adjusted the air pressure.
Let some air out.
He was constantly letting air out. Mm-hmm. So Michelle was hungover out of her mind. Michelle, how did you not... You got to pick it up. Thank you. How did you not throw up yesterday when Jan was driving over those rocks?
Yeah, I don't know.
She, that's Michelle, everyone.
And what about the sexual tension between you and Jan?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't notice this.
Right.
Yeah, you didn't notice. You didn't notice that he almost drove off the road when we were by the by the glacier.
No,
was it
didn't.
Because he was staring at your heaving bosom?
I didn't notice that until you told me at dinner.
That is a much smoother road, but we have decided to take this one for the bouncing bounties.
And how many? Hey, Michelle, really? How many times after that joke about if you go over the speed limit, Michelle have sex with you? How many times did he say, I'm going to go speeding now?
About five.
We got 1 minute. Let's roll the Icelandic cowboy. Oh, here he is singing.
His hit single, I believe.
Oh, good.
Yes. Ride him.
Yeah. Here he is, Jan, our driver.
James.
And
Taylor.
Now the music of Jan.
Jan, everybody.
Okay, I play a couple of...
We only got time for one song.
One with an English text. It's the Icelandic cowboy.
Here we go.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy on my Icelandic pony. I travel around in the west.
Yeah. James Taylor.
I know all the ways around Snifol's Nest.
You got a picture of me. He looks like Chuck Norris.
My baby stays. I've been to the east and I've been to the west. I've been to the north and the south.
People say to me, Don, what did you like best about the city of Iceland?
Once I met there an old polar bear.
You're hearing it.
I found out he had a big mouth. That's why I'm clinging to you, forgotten cowboys. Forgotten cowboys of the world.
Yeah, baby.
Come to Iceland, be. Cause it's on Iceland, and you
Iceland.
Shake the shepherd's hand.
Nice, Iceland.
If you come to Iceland, you can join the local band. Woo!
There he is. That's Jan, our driver.
Wow.
And when we get back at home, we'll also have song number two and his version of Ride 'em.
My personal favorite.
I believe that some of that Jan stuff is going to make it on our forever machine, like the Homo story.
Yeah. I believe so.
I would drive the Homos.
Come to Iceland. It's such a nice one.
And they have a big mouth for sure.
I'm speeding now.
Sex for me.
Sex. So anyway, and remember, he's not totally Icelandic. He's German.
Yeah, he is mainly German.
Right.
He is mainly German.
They seem to find their way everywhere.
Anything for a glass of whiskey.
Speaking of German, the last thing I want to mention before we get to Buzz is last night when we were walking through the town to go to dinner. Rob's heart stopped.
Yes,
because Rob spotted a gigantic swastika
on a
building.
It wasn't a swastika.
Reversed, actually.
It sure was a swastika.
It was the reverse of a swastika. They would not have that as a symbol.
Lisa,
but at least
you took our picture by it. Was it a
swastika?
It looked pretty much like a swastika.
Yeah, well, it looked like one, but it wasn't. I mean, we got the... I don't think...
It was pointed the right way.
It was not.
Yeah,
but here's the deal.
It will be when you print the paper.
We have this discussion. Rob walked down to this alleged swastika. I was talking to Magnus and apologizing, and then I look at Rob, who ran... He doesn't run off.
No.
He ran down the street.
He was motivated.
And Lisa ran to it also. I said, I want to apologize for these people.
That's
quite all right.
We've all taken turns being the ugly American.
That
apparently.
Was the moment right there. You know, it's like we're going to this wonderful restaurant in the middle of Reykjavik. Hey, look, it looks like a swastika.
It really does.
Run to get a picture.
I ran.
It really does.
I ran so far away.
I'm going to put that in my scrapbook, and I'm going to put the picture of me on the cliff of my scrapbook.
Lots of... We're making memories, Don.
Well, yeah. Sure. listen, he's here. Why not? Let's go to Buzz with the news.
Good morning, Buzz,
tease this a little bit. I think I know what the lead story is.
In an Iceland.
Buzz, a little do, re, me.
Whoever this guy is singing, he's not as good as Jan.
No, not at all.
Oh, ho.
I know the lead story. It's about the new king of Iceland. The city.
Very good. Not a king.
The king of Iceland.
City of Iceland?
Yeah. It's our way of making the news a little more Icelandic. And here's the intro. Here you go. There it's a time for Buzz.
Yeah. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is. It's me.
He made it up.
You saw that last night, Buzz. What was that on that bank?
I thought it was a backward. It looked like a swastika, only I thought it was pointing the other way.
It was gigantic. And it's not like... Listen, see, I don't want... The one thing I don't want the wrong impression to give is not like it was something that was... You could see on a wall, like, you know, sometimes they say, well, you see a picture of Jesus on a dollar bill or in a sand or something. I mean, this thing is gigantic in the top of this building.
It was a shipping company,
Hi, Mike.
And they
Hi.
Built that in the 1800s, so
okay.
long before it was used for evil.
Right. And you're a... No, Rob?
Originally, it was a symbol of good luck.
Stop it.
It was.
And then it turned bad.
It did. It was good when it began.
What is your lead story, Buzz?
When in Reykjavik, Iceland elects a prime minister.
Ah, king of the city.
No, it's not a city. It's not a king.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Live from Iceland. That was very...
Pretty, pretty professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They soothe your chapped ass. Don and Mike.
And it's time for the Buzz News Show.
Yay!
The Iceland version, brought to you by Verimax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Yeah.
As you know...
Someone call for a doctor?
It's doctor developed and clinically tested. Verimax works.
Someone call for a doctor?
Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Verimax, 1-888-TRY. VMAX.
Cool beans.
Nice being over here in Iceland, and you know, don't get the wrong impression with what I was saying. It's a great place. I just hate, great city.
You hate being a tourist.
I hate being a shill. You know, even though we're here on their dime,
yeah.
I don't want to be like, hey, come on over here. It's great.
I don't mind.
You know, it's
but
okay.
It is great.
It's okay. It's a good vacation.
It's incredible.
It's okay. You know, I mean, really, you go to West Virginia, you get the same thing. And the great news is everybody speaks the language. Here now is Buzz, and, you know, as it turns out, you guys, because it's light all the time, after the show, it's very late here, but it's still light. As it turns out, now this is a coincidence, Rob, nothing we planned. Everybody, I believe, is going horse riding, except you and I.
Huh. Precisely.
We're going to the mall. What?
Because you asked.
Would you rather go horseback riding? Don't do
you
this for
what?
Me.
No,
what's
I wouldn't.
The truth?
Who am I kidding? Horseback riding? I'll need a sports bra.
Okay. So once again, it'll just be us. It's a wacky happenstance.
And he's being sincere.
Yeah.
About the As law. Am I.
He's being sincere. I mean, he would like to go horseback riding, but he would much rather spend time with you, Lisa.
Lisa. What, Lisa?
Lisa, come on, make that.
I F Rob all the time. Oh, you know, that's going to be isolated now.
Always.
And Rob F's me.
Thank you. Always.
Flag it.
Look, as I look out now, there's a giant boat going out to sea.
That's amazing. We sit here and
you don't see that anywhere in America. You ever been to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore?
Yes, I have.
I'm sorry. I just don't want to be a shill.
It's an Icelandic.
I know, but you're forcing not being a shill because I think deep in your heart, you love it here in Iceland.
Listen, I could never live here. They got 3 TV channels.
Ah, that's right.
They got Channel 1, Channel 2, and Channel 3.
That's right.
And Channel 1 and Channel 2 just show videos.
But don't worry about it because you've got Channel Rob 24 hours a day.
Hello, tune me in.
Channel 666. Now, listen, here's Buzz with news. Now, we were all very excited. Saturday night here in the city of Iceland, they had their election for the king of Iceland.
The country, no, it's prime minister.
And as I understand, there were a couple of candidates. There was... Fish, Kingfish,
no.
Kong, King Kong, and the Crab, King Crab, and also Creole, King Creole.
Where did Crimson come in?
King Crimson.
And Size.
And King Size.
Yes.
Who won the election to be the king of the city?
Yeah, let me try to straighten this out. Iceland now has Europe's longest-serving prime minister, David Oddsson.
Would you like a play, Buzz?
No, I'm fine. David Oddsson of the Conservative Independence Party remains in power even after a dozen years.
You ever wonder if he, like, lays a loogie out before the news starts? How many times does that happen? in a week.
He gets phlegm an awful lot around this time
but
of the
show.
But
it's in the beginning, and then he doesn't have any phlegm for the rest of the newscast. But inevitably, when we go to Buzz, it's at the very...
It's the nerves.
Do you know it's there? Do you know it's there?
No, it surprises me, but what happens is I mostly just say, yeah, during the show, and then and suddenly it's news time, and time to do entire sentences. That's where I run into trouble.
Here's a hint.
Yeah? I'll try that.
Very good.
Anyway, David Odson of the Conservative Independence Party, still in power even after a dozen years, but it was the narrowest of re-election victories, beating a left-leaning Social Alliance candidate who would have been Iceland's first female prime minister. And that's the answer to your question.
Well, that ought to make you happy.
The king of the city.
I got into that with the driver yesterday, too.
The
you didn't hear that on the tape.
No.
I said... How could you elect a woman?
Right.
And he thought, he didn't think it was good, and he said, and he turned and said, I agree. It's like Hillary Clinton. And I said, so what, she's got big elephant-sized legs?
Viva Odson.
Jack Nicholson went off at a Lakers game Friday night. He was wrapped up in the Western Conference NBA playoff game against the San Antonio Spurs. Jack was unhappy about a foul call against Shaquille O'Neal, his third in the second quarter. Jack stepped right out onto the court and yelled at the official. He was asked to return to his seat. Jack's quoted as saying, I pay a lot of money for this seat. This is the NBA, and you can't tell me to sit down.
I would love to see that.
Wacky.
Sit your ass down. You're full of crap.
Here's Jackie. You know, when we were watching TV yesterday, and not Rob and I, I just meant generally watching TV, but I was calling.
Everyone was watching TV.
I called everybody to see if they were watching the channel I was watching.
Right. Was Rob watching the channel you were watching?
No, but Charlie was.
Oh, good. Okay.
It was they call it handball. Now they
team handball.
They play it. Yes, they play it on a basketball court, and it's a hybrid of basketball, soccer, and lacrosse.
I haven't had a chance to see it, but it's supposed to be fascinating.
The ball is about a quarter of a size of our basketball, but it's like basketball. You got to bounce it while you're walking or else you're traveling. You pass it to guys, and there's a big-ass goalie net, and you got to get as close as you can and throw it in the net.
But you can throw it?
Yeah, that's the only way. You don't use your feet.
Right.
It's all with your hands, and these guys don't wear any pads. Wow. So they're checking each other. And
they check and knock each other down like lacrosse.
Yeah, but it's played on... A hardboard court.
That is amazing. What they call it handball?
What is it, Rob? What is it, Charlie?
Charlie, that's Rob.
Hey, Charlie, what?
Slam ball, maybe.
Like, similar to slam ball, is it?
Similar to... Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for bringing that up.
No trampolines.
Yeah, there are no trampolines. Couldn't be slam ball.
Without the trampoline.
Anyway, it's like the most retarded sport I've ever seen, but apparently here...
It's the number one popular sport.
Very big. Yeah.
It's the thing.
Yeah. The officials were so shaken by Jack Nicholson stepping out onto the court Friday. Security had a meeting about the incident at halftime. They alerted the crew to be ready just in case anything else happened. Nothing else did.
You know, Jack is so mellow, they freaked out that he went off on something.
They really want to protest. Diane Cannon should just unspread her legs one night.
She gave him a high five for what he did. She was proud of Jack.
Was she right in back of him?
Yeah, they sit together in those expensive seats.
All she's got to do is just uncross her legs and let that odor come out.
What's even more interesting than reality TV?
What shoots out of that cannon?
Oh, no.
Real life.
Blood.
Real life is apparently more interesting than reality TV. One of the stars of an upcoming show on Fox has been arrested on a felony charge of heroin possession. The show The Simple Life, which relocates a pair of spoiled celebutants to a farm in Arkansas, just started filming last week. It features 22-year-old hotel heiress Paris Hilton.
Joe.
And her
She's
friend.
Bad news.
21-year-old Nicole Richie, daughter of singer Lionel Richie.
Joe.
But Nicole has been arrested by sheriff's deputies in Malibu. She was hit with a misdemeanor charge of driving with a suspended license and a felony heroin charge.
Uh-oh. Hello.
She's due in court June 6th.
Hello.
After missing her April 29th court date.
Is it me you're looking for?
Dancing on the ceiling.
You know, we should mention that Saturday night at dinner, it was the big Lionel Richie discussion, too.
Yeah, right? with these Icelandic dudes.
My former friend, Adi.
We started getting into this thing, you know, where we goof on Lionel Richie, and it's like... One of us turns to the other and goes, boy, in a few hours it'll be Sunday morning, and I like it when it's easy like Sunday morning. And these guys picked up on the fact that we were goofing on Lionel Richie.
And then I said, well, we got to get out of here. We got to sail on down the road, about a half a mile or so.
You know, we gotta hurry because I'm getting tired. We've been here all night long. And one of them actually was a step ahead of us.
That was the...
when we went into the Frank Sinatra.
No. I'm talking about the White Damon Wayans. When he said, I'm going to be making poetry making pottery, rather, with my blind girlfriend.
Yes.
And we all looked at him like, huh? And he said, we're playing the Lionel Richie game, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, don't you remember the video for the song Hello?
Oh, right.
And you remember there was a blind girl making pottery in that video?
Exactly.
So, like, you know, score one for the Iceland dude.
He's also the guy that knew all the lyrics to Summer Wind, too.
Right.
Yeah, and sang it.
Yeah, that's when we got the whole... You know what I also noticed in restaurants here? If you get rowdy and you have a big table of people going crazy, people around you at the tables will join in. You won't get the dirty looks.
Right.
Like last night, one table started screaming and applauding. Then the next table did it, then we did, too.
We joined in. Iceland is known for, among other things, its beautiful women, and that fact is not lost on Mike Tyson.
Oh, I thought you could say not lost on Mike O'Mara.
Well, that also, but...
I just want to go where the Icelandic ladies are. I don't
Why?
Know. You know, it's things you see.
What do you see in Iceland?
Yeah, I don't shower.
I don't shower in Iceland.
I don't shower at the Blue Lagoon.
No, why?
I see guys with genitals, guys rectum.
The ex-con and former heavyweight tried to pick up Miss Iceland the other day in New York, according to MSNBC.
Oh, that was another thing these guys were just harping on at night. I mean,
yeah.
Iceland is the Baltimore of Europe. It has a real inferiority complex. Thank
right.
you. That they were saying, do you realize after the, out of the last 10 years that our Miss Iceland has come in the top three in the Miss World pageant?
Yeah,
and,
true.
And
yeah.
One time in the last 20 years she actually won.
There you go. Yeah.
BFD.
Well, they're lovely. That's the point. And Mike Tyson went so far as to spend several thousand dollars on the dress Miss Iceland will wear in the Miss Universe pageant. But he never got a date with her. Maybe Miss Iceland remembers the beauty contestant who accused Mike of sexual assault.
I'd like to take you back to my room. Would you like to have a glass of wine? And there might be rape.
The Miss Universe pageant is June 3rd.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Protective rape.
Who let the wallaby out? Wayne Newton's pet wallaby escaped from his home
where they
last week.
I've got to find it. You don't understand. This is real tough for me. I've got this. Where's my... What is it?
Wallaby.
Where's my effing wallaby?
Buzz, what is a wallaby? Is it like a...
I'm about to explain.
Squirrel?
No, it's like a small kangaroo.
Wallaby, don't you walk so fast?
It then led police, animal control officers, and an urban cowboy on a 2-mile chase through parts of Las Vegas.
Hey, where's John Travolta? Tell him to find my wallaby.
Wallaby, like a small kangaroo, comes from Australia. It's vegetarian. It's friendly to humans. Wayne named his Priscilla.
Excuse me. This is Wayne Newton. I was wondering if you could find my wallaby. He's wearing a shiny tuxedo.
She?
Yeah. She's wondering. She. Yes, it's a she. I know that. I have her.
We're not sure.
Grissom,
CSI.
Yes. Where's my wallaby, Grissom?
I don't know where your kangaroo is, Jack.
We're not sure how it escaped, but it got out around 6:30 in the morning when one citizen heard about
after it. After a very late night with Mike O'Mara.
When one citizen heard about it, he called his dad, who's kind of a cowboy there. The dad said he asked his son what he'd been smoking, and then dad grabbed a lasso and got into his pickup truck. Headed for South Vegas. Quoting him, I got him the third time. She started kicking, but calmed down.
Well, I'd like to win. Get me my wallaby back.
Wallaby.
Wallabies are probably too small for this, but some people think kangaroo skin makes a nice shoe. The sports shoe company Adidas has no comment on this.
Adidas, as my mom used to say. Do you want some Adidas sneakers?
The value of Adidas stock dropped last week after an animal rights group filed a lawsuit against the company. The German company accused of selling football boots made of kangaroo leather.
I heard they were hopping mad.
Boots are used for European soccer and are endorsed by a British soccer star.
Hello.
Animal rights protesters showed up at the company's annual stockholder meeting, one of them dressed as a kangaroo. Kangaroos are not as plentiful as wallabies, but they're not on any endangered species list either.
That's right, Jack.
But they all make the stuff in like a Kathy Lee Gifford type of arrangement
here.
With like
sweatshops.
With 12-year-olds making 1 cent an hour. So who can, you know, for all I care, make me a pair of shoes out of the bald eagle. Go ahead.
Oh, now see, you're an American. You're a patriot, and you're saying that.
I know.
Okay.
It's a symbol, Buzz.
Yeah, well, it's an American symbol, Don.
Yeah, but it's a symbol.
All right.
You know, animals, I was having to explain this to someone the other day.
It's compromise. Make them out of wallaby.
I was explaining this to someone. One of these Iceland dudes the other day was trying to tell me about, oh, I know what it was. It was free range. They were saying that the
free range lambs.
That the lambs here are free range. And I said, yeah, and? They said, well, it's better for them. And I said, well, what do you mean it's better for them? They're going to end up on my plate either way,
right,
whether you have them in, you know, living in condos.
They're tastier and less fat because they're free range.
Well, I don't know. It just, they're doing it for, like, humanitarian reasons, like the lambs have any idea what's going on.
And then they kill them.
Well, no, I think you're both making too big a deal of it. Don, have your lamb stopped crying?
Quid
pro quo, Bob.
Yes. Musician and former TV personality John Tesh is being sued by a housewife in Missouri.
And incidentally, Buzz.
Yes?
I swear to Christ, if you were to ask me who most Icelandic guys look like,
the
celebrity they most resemble, don't you think, is John Tesh?
John Tesh.
What about our waiter the other night at dinner?
The entire wait staff.
Actually, the waiter at the other night at dinner looked like Jack Cassidy.
No, he looked more like John Tesh. I know you said Jack Cassidy.
Combination of John Tesh and Jack Cassidy?
Both Nordic,
They have that retarded haircut, and they have the same jawline.
Are you calling retarded, Scarecrow?
Jack Cassidy, I'm bisexual.
Eat some baby lamb. We let them walk around before we kill them.
Jack Cassidy. Yeah, I got into this ridiculous discussion with one of those guys about, well, we're very humane, the free range, you know, that's why the lambs are allowed to. But so eventually, you cut their heads off, and you cut them into pieces, and you put them in an oven, and you eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. But until then, you know, they live in the high life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the range, free.
Like they know.
It makes them taste better.
Like they know. No, it doesn't.
This Missouri housewife who's suing John Tesh says he took a September 11th tribute that she had written and that he included it without credit on a Christmas CD he put out last year. The woman, who is pregnant with her third child, says Tesh got the poem she'd written off the internet.
What an effing jerk.
She writes poetry when she's not homeschooling her kids. And this one she copyrighted back in January of last year. Tesh says he got the poem from his wife, Connie Selica.
F. Tesh.
He reportedly offered to pay the author some royalties, but refused to pay a $5,000 licensing fee, and off they go to court.
Isn't it great to swim in a pond? Isn't it great to be nice and blonde?
You know, I'm stuck on this free-range thing, because my wife is nuts about that, too, at home. And she got that way once when we were driving up Route 50, and we saw one of the big Purdue farms, a chicken truck.
Yeah.
And she was saying, oh, how sad for those chickens that their existence is they live and then they go in these little cages. And I said, and yes, and then they end up on our plates.
You've obviously never eaten a free-range hot dog.
I know you had one at BWI, didn't you, that Lucky Dog?
Lucky Dog, best I've ever had, because they let them walk around before they boil them.
Well, it had been outdoors.
I need, and I said this one to you, you proved to me how it makes it taste better if you let them live in condos before you cut their heads off and slice them up and put them in the oven.
Yeah, there's a whole culture of free-range foods, and the free-range asparagus is absolutely the best. Yes, that they move to.
Uh-huh. Yes. Rosie O'Donnell is back in the magazine business, kind of. Her own magazine. Yes, she's free-range. Her own magazine lasted only about 18 months. She was squeezed out by the publisher, who
she's squeezing one out right now.
She says the old publisher was squelching her editorial voice.
But
starting this week, she'll be writing a regular column in someone else's magazine, a gay and lesbian monthly known as The Advocate.
Dykey and a likey.
Yeah. In her first column, she writes about how fame has robbed her of her yellow.
She's got plenty of brown.
This is yellow, is what she calls her energy and happiness. That's her yellow.
Then she sat down and ate an entire wallaby. But it was a free-range wallaby.
But it was Wayne Newton's.
It tasted good. Well, had it run around.
Yeah. Quoting the column, as I became bigger and sadder, starved for yellow, I filled my craving with food.
What's getting yellow?
That's her power. That's just her energy.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about my wallaby joke that Rob wrote for me.
Rosie says that she became bigger and sadder, starved for yellow. I filled my craving with food, getting madder at my expanding girth and my inability to make more yellow.
Remember, I think she can make plenty of yellow. I think she can make more brown.
Yeah.
Remember, if it's yellow,
let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
What is yellow? What are you talking about?
It's her energy and her happiness.
I was kidding. I was listening. I was listening.
Thank you for making him recap. Now I know what it is. What a bunch of BS that is.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Granted.
Are we okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Oh,
Keep going. Carry on. A guy hired by Demi Moore to manage her ranch in Idaho says she tried to seduce him and fired him when he turned her down.
Oh, you know,
F him.
You know, she is still a real... And what is it someone said to us recently? Not, it was, on the show, it wasn't POA, it was...
P of A.
She is really a P of A. Have you seen the ad for the new Charlie's Angels movie?
POA.
She is the bad lady in that.
Right. Let's hear about this jerk that's suing her.
Well, quoting this guy, yeah, there are questions about this guy. And quoting him, who was once Hugh Hefner's butler... I was on the floor trying to get into a cabinet when she began lightly stroking my neck in a very sensual way.
Baby.
He says she then lured him to a love seat and began caressing the inside of his left leg.
Nice.
Quoting again, she thinks she can turn on her sexual powers and get whatever she wants from any man. He's filed a complaint with the State Human Rights Commission.
What's the guy's name? Jeremy Coleman?
No, last name Bass. I think he's related to Lance. I'm not sure.
Marty.
He wants damages of at least $200,000.
Oh, screw you.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes?
Did she want to steal his yellow?
Probably. And some other colors.
He sounds like a real ween.
Moore is countersuing, accusing Bass of violating the confidentiality agreement that he had signed.
Hey, there you go. Go for it, Demi.
Yeah.
We got a break here, Buzz.
Very good.
And we'll be right back.
I'm so horny.
I know you are.
And I'm rooting for Demi Moore.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Sometimes a babe needs something to keep you cool.
Because I'm yellow.
I'm
yellow.
That's your energy and your happiness.
It's all been so exciting.
We're in Iceland. Now, I know a lot of people live and die by our schedules.
Of course.
So we want to tell you that it's not as easy as you might think. We're done with the show at 7 p.m., 11 p.m. Iceland time. They don't have a 12 midnight flight for us to leave to come back home.
Yay. As a matter of fact, the way I understand it, we are on a plane leaving Iceland tomorrow at 4:45.
Yeah.
Rubes.
They got like one flight going in and one flight going out every day. So tomorrow, unfortunately, for you guys, will be a travel day for us. So we'll be back live on Wednesday. So I've announced that so that when we get back...
No whining.
No one will be mad at us.
Because if you do, you're gone.
You're gone. And now, once again, here's Buzz. And we should also say, Buzz, just how great Iceland Air is and how nice the people from Iceland Air have been. And just a wonderful treatment. I've never been in a nicer city than Iceland. And let's hear it for... Mr. Kong, who was officially voted the king of Iceland.
Hey, if you got zits, come over here. They'll go away.
Yeah, yeah. Get in the brown lagoon.
Blue lagoon.
Blue.
They're going to steal that as a motto. If you have zits,
they'll come go on away.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're gone.
They've been very nice, and we want to thank them very much. We'd like to come back again sometime.
Yes.
What are you shaking your head for, Rob?
I'm kidding, of course.
Come on, you and I have had a good time, pal.
Yeah.
Have a swastika. I'd love to come back.
I would too, with you.
I really would.
Oh, now you've hurt my feelings, ass.
Oh, now you see.
Now jealousy. It's all about jealousy. The green monster.
It is ugly.
Yeah.
Green-eyed monster.
I'm kidding. There's another hymn to share.
There you go.
Tell me about it.
Ed McMahon, our most famous second best.
I'll drink to that.
Our most famous.
That was a little loud. I'm sorry about that.
I'll drink to that.
There you go.
Ed's doing something next week he hasn't done since Johnny Carson retired.
Had a solid bowel movement?
No, he's co-hosting a late night talk show.
With who?
He'll sidekick with Jimmy Kimmel. Quoting Ed, that should be good, huh? Trainwreck?
No, but I dig it. If I'm Jimmy Kimmel, I do the same thing.
Quoting Ed, I think people are going to want to know what Ed McMahon looks like.
Oh, is that Ed speaking of himself in third person?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And he continues, being as they haven't seen me maybe for a while, and they want to see me in that role again. McMahon says it'll be an easy gig. His rule, be there when the host needs you, be out of the way when he doesn't. Quoting him, that's the secret to being a good second banana.
That is so Hank, isn't it?
It is.
It is so Hank.
Think he'll smell like stool?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Ed.
But if you were Jimmy Kimmel, you're doing the show.
Yeah.
Somebody says, hey, we can get Ed McMahon to actually be your sidekick.
Kingsley.
I bet Johnny's pissed.
I don't think so. I think that...
he cares anymore.
Yeah, I think Ed's been on... Ed was on the Arsenio Hall show when Arsenio had a show. He was on one night. Maybe Johnny's mad because it's Jimmy Kimmel.
But he's going to be the regular sidekick, right?
No, just for that week.
Oh,
for that week.
Co-host
every week.
Speaking of late night TV, this is a nice segue. Because I want to make a statement here. Very briefly. I want to tell you. You wonder what Rob and I talk about when we're alone, when we're not talking about?
Do we ever.
Yeah, okay. Here's something that I've just been talking his ear off about. Being as there's only three TV channels in Iceland.
Okay.
Like last night, unless I wanted to watch the same DMX or Bananarama video, because they run videos on two channels. On a one channel, they have some American shows. They run Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always TiVo Letterman. I never watched Jay Leno. And it was a good lineup. He had Lisa Marie Presley, and he had some guy from a zoo who brought out orangutans. Right? Uh-huh. Now, that's... And he had a pretty good segment with jaywalkers, with dumb people.
Okay.
But the thing with Jay Leno is... that guy just is not funny. He's not a good interviewer.
Right.
He doesn't have any stage presence. And I finally figured out, I guess the reason he's beating Letterman in the ratings is, I don't think it's the lead-in with Friends or anything else. It's the fact that his set has so many bright, shiny lights.
Yes.
Really, I mean this seriously.
Pretty colors.
I was getting into this with Rob very deeply.
You're right, it's not that sullen Letterman set that really hasn't changed in a million years.
No, it's bright. He's got big screens. He's just not a funny guy.
No, he's not at all.
I watched him limp through this segment with Lisa Marie Presley, and they had this one thing, which was, in theory, a great bit. You know when he goes out and he gets jaywalkers?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, they had the three champion jaywalkers, and he was like playing Jeopardy with them.
Right.
And these people are really butt stupid.
And it's an hysterical segment.
But the reason it wasn't funny, when I watched it for 5 minutes thinking it was a parody of Jeopardy.
Right.
Because when he would say, "Who shot Abraham Lincoln?" and the guy would buzz in and say, "Hinckley?" And the audience would laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno wouldn't say anything to the guy like, "Well, Mike, you do Jay Leno," but he would say, "You're an idiot.
It's not written for me." And if it's not written, I'm not going to exactly have anything to say that's really funny.
I watched this, and I found myself getting very angry at this. Now, in D.C., we can't watch Jimmy Kimmel because Channel 7...
You need to go to the Blue Lagoon, my boy.
Channel 7 has got some problem with the content, so it's either Leno or Letterman, and I was watching Leno.
Well, I was just Jay Leno.
Because it's like the only thing on TV, and poor Rob has heard this lecture all weekend. The reason Jay Leno has big ratings is because his set has bright colors.
Bright colors, shiny lights. That's what people want. That's what I'm going to give them. I'm right now.
It's like The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bells and whistles. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Hello, this is Jay Leno. I suck. Rubes love it.
One more note about Ed. We finally found out how much money Ed McMahon got for the toxic mold that turned up in his home. Contractors were accused of not properly repairing a water leak, which created a deadly mold that spread through the house.
He put it on eBay?
Ed and his wife had to move.
I would buy Ed's mold.
Ed and his wife had to move out after the mold killed their little dog. The out-of-court settlement...
Little Johnny.
Was originally the out-of-court settlement was originally confidential, but Reuters found it in a national magazine dedicated to the subject of toxic mold litigation.
Toxic mold litigation.
A judge decided to make the number public, $7 million.
You're asking
for mold.
In the house. I'll drink to that.
$7 million.
Well, who's going to pay that? Who did he sue?
The contractors. There are several contractors involved.
Wow.
He's getting the money.
I just pray that his Christmas tree is okay, Buzz.
Yes,
you know, Ed keeps a year-round Christmas tree.
Yes,
because he likes the Christmas spirit.
I'd have to get a contractor though, where some guy saws through the wrong pipe, and you got to pay Ed McMahon, a guy that's got gazillions of dollars already.
And the insurance company is also being sued, in addition to multiple contractors.
I bet Ed doesn't have gazillions of dollars.
You think you spent it?
I think you drink it.
I drink it down. I can relate.
Got to see the Conan O'Brien show Thursday night. It'll be done in claymation, the same technique used to make Celebrity Deathmatch and Wallace and Gromit.
That's good. See, that wouldn't work on Jay Leno.
Right,
now,
bright lights.
You got to figure out the premise there.
The episode has been in production for months. It's a recreation of an original live-action episode that aired last October. The guests are Johnny Knoxville, Richard Lewis, David Bowie, and Mr. T.
I'm doing a little claymation in my underpants right now.
Johnny, sure.
Hey, that's two of us.
Quoting Conan, this may be the best show we've ever done. In clay.
Ah.
Jane Pauley.
Okay. Yeah.
Jane Pauley.
Hag. Oh, I thought we were playing a word association game.
Oh, that's coming up. Jane Pauley makes
Hag.
Her last regular network TV appearance tomorrow night.
10 years too late.
She started on NBC's Today Show in 1978, spent 25 years there.
Young hag.
In 1992, she moved to Dateline NBC, and that's where she'll make her last
Stone Phillips Tool
regular appearance tomorrow night. A lot of the show will look back on her time at the network, and that will include appearances by her old Today Show buddies, including Gene Shalit, Willard Scott, and Bryant Gumbel.
Hey, what if Bono married Jane Pauley? You know what he'd be?
What?
Bonopoly. I'm sorry.
What was her name again?
Jane Pauley.
Feminine odor.
An aging musician.
Hi. This is Jane Pauley, NBC Dateline.
Smell me.
Oh! Smell my feminine odor like Diane Cannon at the Lakers game.
An aging musician performed in an ancient venue over the weekend. Paul McCartney played the Roman Colosseum Saturday night where gladiators once fought.
He did not. He was at dinner with us, and then he ignored me later.
The tickets were auctioned online with the profits going to the preservation of the Colosseum and one of McCartney's favorite causes, Adopt a Minefield. McCartney performed the Beatles classics in an hour-and-a-half show. The show was mostly acoustic, so as not to disturb the Pope. He made it through All My Loving.
Hey, turn that down, dude.
Made it through that yesterday.
You don't like that, do you, Your Holiness? What's the music you'd like to hear? You don't like Paul McCartney?
I like Busta Rhymes. I like Jay-Z.
How about,
as you say, J2.
How about 50 Cent?
Love him. And I love Three Doors Down. Hey, turn that crap off. Do some wings. Hey, have your wife take her leg off for me, huh? This is the Pope saying, come to Iceland. It's a great city.
Paul made it through All My Loving yesterday in Blackbird, but he stumbled through Eleanor Rigby. Quoting Paul, I've done it again. I wrote this song and I always forget the words. Eminem doesn't mind making fun of himself, but he's not about to let Weird Al Yankovic do it. Al wanted to turn M's Oscar-winning Lose Yourself into a song called Couch Potato. A spokesman for the white rapper says Lose Yourself is a special personal song for Eminem.
Hey, nice to see Eminem doesn't have a sense of humor.
Real laugh or a fake laugh?
Fake, because Al is brilliant.
Yes, he is. Quoting Weird Al, it's very disappointing. This could have been my best video ever.
Yeah, that's surprising, because in Eminem's videos, he does goof on himself a lot. Like where he wears the Robin suit.
They say it's a very important personal song to Eminem, and he just doesn't feel like anyone.
Well, there's always that one thing, too.
Yeah. What's that?
He's a dumbass.
Lose yourself in the music, in the moment.
Right.
Ruin it.
It was a British all-star party. You may
stupid,
want to get out that,
I'm stupid.
You want to get out that term again. It was a British all-star party that Liza Minnelli threw for her now 50-year-old husband, David Guest, over the weekend. Bob Geldof and the Stones' Bill Wyman were there. Diana Rigg and Tom Jones were there. Quoting Liza, I'm giving this party for David because he
might as well have been a cemetery plot party.
She said, I'm giving this party for David because he is such a wonderful husband and I love him so much. Other guests included Boy George and Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, my God.
A TV friend of Don and Mike's really starting to move up in the world. Steve Doocy, who co-hosts The Morning Show on the Fox News Channel, is becoming a bit more of a name. The Fox News Channel was already on its way up in the ratings, and then the Iraqi war hit, driving the numbers even higher. The audience for that morning show also grew from just over 1 million viewers to nearly 2.5 million.
You mean that Fox show that's Fox, like beating CBS
Fox
now, then, right?
During the war, they were, you know, W-Pander.
Fox and Friends even starting to threaten the ratings of CBS's The Early Show, even though Fox News is not in as many homes as CBS. The Don and Mike friend Steve Doocy is described as a well-groomed Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and like me, he hails from Kansas.
And I'd have to say, let's be honest, yes, former friend.
Former friend? Oh.
Former friend. And not because
aware.
Not because we've had a falling out, just because the more famous he's gotten, the more he forgets that he's our friend. Like,
sorry to hear that.
Didn't we recently call him to have him be like the celebrity burp or something? And
he was very courteous about not showing up when we were in New York. And it really, all it involved was 20 minutes of his time and a 2-minute cab ride.
And then we wanted him one time to be the celebrity burper. And he said, I got to, you know, contact the people at Fox and have them clear it for us.
Yeah. That made it clear where he is.
This is the same guy that used to, you know, if you remember back to Channel 4 when he was like the guy that would stand on the corner and say, you know, what type of mayonnaise do you like? He was the field street wacky reporter. Guy.
And we went to a party at his house.
It's nice to be important, but it's more.
Did you go to that party?
Yeah, I did with his piece of a wife.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In sports, Dr. Say Alonzo Mourning's free to resume his NBA career. The 33-year-old center for Miami missed all of last season with a kidney problem. His contract with the Heat expired after that. He becomes a free agent on July 1st.
Mike and I are thinking about Steve Ducey's house now and his wife. So we got some stories that we can't tell.
That's right. Don't get too big for your britches, Ducey, man.
And finally...
That's right. That's right, Mr. Smarty Pants. We've got some dirt on you, Smarty Pants.
There's stuff about you that people might like to know, Mr. Smarty Man.
Steve Ducey, Mr. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. Boaters.
Squeaky clean.
Boaters in Oregon are being asked to stop using the Deschutes River as a toilet. This summer, river rangers will start enforcing a regulation that requires overnight visitors to bring their own portable toilet.
See, it's like the Blue Lagoon.
Stop it. I knew that's the whole reason that story's in there.
No, no, it's not.
Without one, they face a $500 fine. Officials say they want to see a big change in the amount of human waste and toilet paper they find along the side of the river. They say the outhouses fill up at an alarming rate. At the very least, they're requiring campers to bring a bucket.
I got
to
fill up my outhouse right now.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Blue Brown Lagoon. Blue. Now listen, that's it. We gotta go. Well, we don't have the
no, I don't think we do.
We don't. We're doing the best we can today.
That's right.
Listen, we want to thank the good people from Iceland Air.
Magnus, in particular, he's been an absolutely incredible. Wonderful host.
Magnus has been fantastic. Also. We want to thank Michelle and, of course, Charlie and Lisa, soon to be married, they are. And we got to go.
Another continent.
I'm sorry. You know?
Badass.
I've been 3 days away from home.
Yeah.
We'll be back live in the studio on Wednesday, everybody. So don't have a heart attack when we're not there tomorrow just because the flight leaves late. That's it. And thanks for all the hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Great city. Come see it if you get a chance, Iceland. Good day to you, sir.
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 Yeah, we're going to the mall. It closes soon, so we got to go, right?
A kind word and a loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread. Okay.
BM.
Peter Tim.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.